again, and welcome to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTGcast Network. I am Chewie, your faithful, fearless. No, I'm afraid of things. I'm the guy that posts the show.
our fearless leader.
Our fearless leader. No, I need to shave before Charlotte, dude. No, shut up, phone.
Your F-word leader.
I am joined this week by everyone's favorite goblin that will not stay in the graveyard, Squee.
Well, do you blame me? There's creepy stuff in there.
That's true. I watched a documentary about Night of the Living Dead earlier today because it's falling off of Netflix soon, and I was in the living room cleaning. And that's where that movie starts, you know.
Creepy stuff?
What? No, in the graveyard.
Oh, well, yeah. Makes sense.
And they're coming to get you, Barbara. You know, it's very strange.
Yeah, some Bridge from Below nonsense.
Yeah, see? But because Clues is currently, well, not currently, but earlier today was 97 feet below the surface of the ocean.
Calling him a quitter.
Yes.
That close.
If you think that Clues could have gone 3 more feet, then tweet at La Cluse, spelled just like it usually is in the show notes, but won't be this week because he's not here.
Yeah. See how dead he is to us?
And tell him that he's a quitter.
Like 3 more feet. 3 more feet.
But to make up for the lack of clues, we have another aggressive red player enthusiast. Are you more Boros or are you more Rakdos?
I'm closer to the Boros side of things.
Exactly. See, that's why we brought you on to replace Clues, because
we Boros. Might need to block at some point.
Yeah, exactly. This is one of the co-hosts of Commander Cast, and it turns out the show editor. I first know him from Off Color Cast. Look that up if you're feeling especially adventurous. Or don't. This is Captain Red Zone, Calvin. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Hey, everybody. This is Calvin. I'm also known as Captain Red Zone on the internet. As Chewie said, I'm mostly from Commander Cast at the time being. If you want to find me, that's where you can go. That's also on the MTG Cast Network. But you can also find us on CommanderCast.com or on Stitcher. And you can find us on iTunes through MTG Cast. So, there.
See, look at that.
Good night, everybody.
Just did all the plugs just right there. Just boom, 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 boom. This is a man who knows what he's doing.
This is a man who's going to bounce as soon as we get to the tournament, so I don't blame him.
like, trust me. Like, if I went into my entire spiel for plugs, this would be just one unstopping breath of just be running on with just things and stuff and stuff.
You know who's the best donuts? There's a gas station down the street from my house that has the absolute best donuts.
So, yeah, Clues is in Grand Cayman, as he said last week, although he's still in the show notes and bothering us about stuff.
Lurking.
He is definitely lurking.
A little bit about goldfish, some things about contraptions, a few other things that involved Reddit, most of which we had to figure out what was actually ignorable, and about 97% of it was ignorable.
Turns out it was all of it, so that's good. We have enough news to talk about, because today is Announcement Day.
Announcement Day.
If I really cared, I would have some dramatic music there behind us, but...
Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-suit.
But, no, really, today is Announcement Day. And you know this, because on the Wizards website today, they posted an article called Announcement Day.
It was very clever. I think they got half of the people in creative to agree on that title. The other half wanted it to just be, hey, news!
But yeah, they've told us all of the news we're going to get for the next, 4 or 5 months? When is September? So yeah, 4 months.
Yeah, like 4 months.
So that's very strange. Apparently, okay, wait, where is, it's further down here. So apparently, they're going to be doing... We're going to do the announcement about the announcement first, because it's funnier that way. They're going to be doing two major product announcements every year, one in the spring and one in the fall, where they will announce the next block and any supplemental products that will be released during the next year or so. So instead of the whenever...
Went to a bunch, because now he's only got two chances to ever actually say what he wants to say.
But instead of just telling us whenever something is ready, hey, look, here's an announcement, they're just going to just throw it all out at once. And, I mean, that's cool, I guess.
It's interesting from the perspective of people who, for, say, crazy example, talk about news every week.
I wonder who that would be. Who would actually take time out of their day to go online every week to find news about Magic the Gathering so that they can be able to
Bob Twitter. This is really rough on Bob Twitter.
Bob, you poor, poor bastard. I feel so sorry for you.
I mean,
I'll see you in September.
To be fair, we already felt sorry for Bob Twitter, but
yeah, he's got an unfortunate life.
So this was the first of these big announcements where they're going to tell us everything about everything. So I guess should we just hit the bullet points? Let's hit the bullet points.
Yeah, that we might as well just go down that list in order. And then for those on the back end, namely the three of us, the show notes, we had a lot of fun trying to find a way to hit all these things because on the website, it's here's like six bullet points. Great. Some of them are links to vastly more information. Others are not. So it's kind of an interesting approach to dump all of your news and then still spread it out over 10 places. So we'll see how it goes.
Pretty much. So first up, the next block. Because you know, did you know that Magic the Gathering is now a 2-block-per-year game?
Whoa.
So the last set that we were aware of was Eldritch Moon, which is the second set of Shadows Over Innistrad block, which is in just a few months. So we had blinders on past that. Well, now we know everything.
Everything.
The next set will be called Kaladesh. Nice and...
You watch your mouth.
Your mother. But it's called Kaladesh, and it's nice and creative. It's named after the plane, and you might remember Kaladesh as being where Chandra is from.
Isn't that following the tradition of always naming your first set on a plane after the plane?
Yep.
All right, everybody, new plane. We've only been there once.
And even then, it sort of didn't count.
It was like a tenth of that set was Kaladesh.
Like it was, we were just like tiptoeing into there. It's kind of just a tip.
here we go. Now if you played Magic Duels, there was a bit more Kaladesh just because you played as Baby Chandra and got to see
story arc and
some
development.
Stuff. Yeah,
what life was like in Tomorrowland.
She wore baggy pants and got chased by people. And then she blew up some wildlife and felt good about it. And then everybody died at the end. Like, what? What the hell?
Sounds like a red day to me.
A little bit.
Don't really see any reason for a complaint for that. Sounds like a fun weekend.
Kaladesh will debut at PAX West. PAX West? What the hell is PAX West?
You mean Prime?
It's the opposite of PAX East.
I was going to say, is that supposed to be PAX Prime, or did PAX Prime change its name, or is Wizards just dumb?
There's so many possible answers.
Okay.
All the answers.
Because I know of PAX Prime and PAX East and PAX South.
Yeah.
So I guess eventually they could have a PAX West just to not give more attention to Prime. I don't know.
They're calling it PAX West, apparently.
I did a search and Google auto-completed PAX West Virginia. And I don't want to go to that.
Yeah, let's not.
Yeah, don't do that.
It is a silly place.
Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself.
No, I've got a rule. I don't go to that one, just in general.
Wrong location, my friend.
I don't go anywhere with West in the name that doesn't have a corresponding East. It just doesn't happen.
Anyway, so yeah, PAX West and PAX Prime are apparently interchangeable. Maybe they're going to flip it over so that there's a East and a West and a South, and maybe they'll have one in the frozen north of Canada. But anyway, it's going to debut at PAX West on September 2nd, and it'll release in stores on September 30th. So we get a nice month of
previews,
which is about right. So
yeah.
So then, we now already know the second set in Kaladesh block, Aether Revolt.
Ooh.
So the tagline for Kaladesh is, invent your tomorrow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tomorrowland.
Yes. And the tagline for Aether Revolt is, it's time to take the power back.
I want my baby back. Ribs.
I want my power back, power back, power back.
Yeah, you heard it here first, everyone. They are reprinting the Power 9. That's what that means, right?
Spoilers. So that actually, is releasing January of 2017.
And for those of you who are planning on ever Googling this set, it's going to be A-E-T-H-E-R. They're no longer doing the combined letter thing, probably because of the name of this set.
That would not surprise me. I've always hated the combined A-E thing.
Yeah, it's really annoying to search for.
I mean, it's also not on the keyboard, so you have to know the, what is it, an ASCII code?
Yeah, the alt code on Windows.
Alt code, that's what it is. It's a large pain. Anyway, so that's the big part of this announcement is the next block. Oh my god, we know the entirety of the next block. Ah! It's going to have artifacts and stuff.
Don't you appreciate how bright it is compared to Innistrad?
Not yet. I'm still digging the darkness, but...
No, I'm digging it too. It's just like, that's the full contrast. Like, I don't think I've seen such an art contrast since Lorwyn and Shadowmoor, which was completely intentional.
I mean, we do know that they have, you know, some fascists in charge from the Chandra storyline, so that's always good.
I mean, you know, that it creates conflict.
Yeah. Are you different? Burn her! And she's like, I like it. They're like, whoops. Burn her anyway!
Oh, yeah, racist.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you can imagine going to Esper, only instead of it being blue, black, white, it's primary colors. Just like looking at it, all the art that I've seen so far is like golds, reds, and blues. And so it's very World of Tomorrow.
Is it a great, big, beautiful tomorrow?
I mean, it could be.
Depends on your definition of beauty.
Fair enough. So.
It does look like the World's Fair. Good call, Chewie.
So that's that. Now let's tangent off real quick. Rosewater announces a new thing that is coming with Kaladesh. And too many links. Here it is. Okay. So in Rosewater's article, this week, he is explaining the path that they want new players to follow. So much like Clues, you get the sample deck as your first exposure to Magic or Magic Duels, because they're both free and, you know, nice and relatively simple.
Gotta get that first hit in free. So this way, you know, we can entice them to come back for more.
Yeah, like any good drug dealer, the first one's free. Exactly.
And it comes in packs.
The second one was the row of question marks, and the third one is Profit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the third one is the Deck Builder's Toolkit, then the expansion boosters, as the, you know, the end of the new player journey. And they didn't know what to do with the second step in that. So they've come up with a thing.
Things.
Kind of. And depending on your definition of come up with.
Well, yeah, okay. This new second step here are called Planeswalker decks.
Yay. What?
And each. What? So the deal is they're pre-constructed 60-card decks that come with two booster packs. Does this sound familiar?
So this sounds like the Sarkon Ball. Like, this is like Sarkon versus Tibble, or like Jace versus Syndra, just with like a booster pack kind of added to it.
No, not quite, because these are more like two intro packs. I don't know if this, are they getting rid of intro packs?
Cause, how about the sound of this?
Well,
they're just having a proper place to put them.
They're not listed here.
Yeah, they're not.
But they might not be part of, like, you would think, given the name intro pack, they'd be part of the acquisition strategy.
You'd think so. So
this may also be taking the place of that.
Wizards is really good about not telling you when they've discontinued something. It just disappears and no one mentions it ever again. Until someone asks Rosewater on Tumblr and he goes and types, no, we don't do that anymore.
We have not actually printed Time Shift since Time Spiral. Thank you for asking.
But the Planeswalker decks, there will be two for each set. And each one is built around a Planeswalker that's relevant to the story of that block.
Okay.
And they'll be pre-constructed 60-card decks that come with two boosters for $14.99.
So it's like the Tibble versus like Sorin booster pack and the intro packs got together, had a baby, like a little love child, and kind of pooped out these Planeswalker pack decks now.
That is how babies work. Yeah.
I think we might need to work on your anatomy, but two, yeah. It sounds like the dual decks are specifically meant to be built, to be played against each other. These aren't necessarily. They're just more for showing off what's going on in the set.
Yeah, looking at them, I kind of think more about the, when you would get the intro packs, They always had like one fancy foil rare at the front.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the cases of these, you get a Planeswalker, and then for the cards that are inside of it, it's not like they've built out an entire deck for you. They've specifically put together a bunch of cards that complement the Planeswalker card in the front.
Exactly.
And then you get some packs so that you still learn how to, you know, get that dangerous drug in your system.
Right. And but the whole thing, like the whole 60 cards, is also standard legal as well, correct?
Right.
And how?
So it's like they took the intro pack. They're going to do some customization to it, like it was the Planeswalker versus Planeswalker deck, but it's still the intro pack. And they're going to leave the booster pack in it because it's still the intro pack. And we're going to get new Planeswalkers in the front instead of just like a big shiny, like, creature. But, you know, it's still the intro pack.
And the interesting thing is it's not just that they're new Planeswalkers, it's that they're legitimately new Planeswalkers.
Yeah. Each Planeswalker deck is going to have a Planeswalker card in it that is designed specifically for this product. So, I mean, the example art that they have here is a Chandra deck. So it'll be Chandra the, oh, whatever. Quick, give me a word that hasn't been used. Chandra the hot-headed, let's say.
Chandra the ignited.
Okay, sure. We'll go with that.
Chandra es muy fuego.
Sí. And, it'll be Chandra. She's on fire.
She's on.
Boom, shakalaka. So that's a thing. This will be the only place to get these two Planeswalker cards is in the Planeswalker deck. But they're designed to work like, you know, everyday Planeswalkers, but they'll be geared towards, where is it? Make sure to design them more with beginners in mind. So they'll be geared towards beginners, but they will still be legitimate Planeswalkers that are legal in standard. So let's hope to God that one of them isn't good or else these will just vanish off the shelves.
Yeah, I suspect these are going to be watered down just so that they can ensure that they actually get to the people that they're meant for, as opposed to like when the commander decks came out and then they screwed up and they put a really, really good fish in one of them and therefore no one can get it but the competitive players.
Pretty much.
It seems like the perfect place to put like Planeswalkers that have abilities on them that are like very simple to understand. For any of the listeners out there that have been around since the Planeswalkers original inceptions, you'll remember what the original five Planeswalkers were. The, you know, Johnny, Jace, Liliana, Gideon.
Yeah, the Lorwyn five.
And like, not Gideon, but you know, the Alora five. Like all five of them were basically like you looked at them. As long as you knew what a Planeswalker did, they were pretty much completely understandable and they were pretty balanced and weren't like completely busted and broken. So I would expect these Planeswalkers to fall into the lines of like, hey, here's this Planeswalker and here's this cost and here's these three extremely simple non-game breaking abilities that you can use to do it.
Enjoy. Yeah, I'm kind of imagining these also falling into the category of the Commander Planeswalkers, who the five of them were neat, simple monocolored Planeswalkers. Like some of them did fancy stuff at the high end, but none of them were like, and we are printing this card expressly to break Legacy. Like, they're not Dak Vaden.
Right.
Right.
And I think these ones will probably be a lot more like, if you imagine a normal Planeswalker, and then you dial it back so that it's not a super competitive one, but you still learn how they work and how to use them. Makes sense. It'll be cool. Plus, we get more art. I mean, like, the Chandra art on this looks pretty great, because they did the thing where they didn't light her head on fire. And she looks pretty awesome when her head's not on fire.
I mean...
Everybody loves a redhead.
To be fair, I look pretty awesome when my head's not on fire, so.
I mean, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but you're right, you do.
Thank you. Now, let me read this directly from Rosewater's article here. Blah, blah, blah. Ooh, I scrolled up. Hang on. Here we go. These cards are designed to be fun and flavorful, but not pushed for tournament play. Okay, that's important. We want new players to be excited by them and for them to have big impact on the game, but we don't want established players to feel obligated to buy the Planeswalker decks. As a default, the Planeswalkers will be expensive to cast and splashy. So...
Ooh, that could backfire.
That could backfire, but what worries me is, okay, this is fine for right now, but eventually they're going to see that these aren't selling as well as they want them to, and they're going to push one.
You know, next thing you know,
two, three, four, sets down the line, they're going to push one, and it's going to explode, and the sales on that one particular thing are going to go through the roof, and they're going to go, I wonder. Remember.
And it'll be a Jace.
Yeah, C also, Commander. We'll get to that in a minute.
I'm still entertained by the idea of getting Planeswalker cards that don't have to be tied into the current standard set. And also the ability to do kind of like the Commander ones did before, which is, let's just dig up this other card that, you know, it's a Planeswalker, but we can't really do them anymore. Like, we might get another Venser or something.
Yeah.
There's a lot of possibility.
It says that they're going to be relevant to the block that they're in, so I wouldn't look for that.
Oh, I was thinking flavor-wise, but you think it'll be mechanically relevant, too? I guess if they're serving the intro pack function, they'd have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even said, like, even in the article, I believe it said that a dex will have, like, one or may have a mechanic from the particular block that it's supposed to be linked to, but not necessarily, like, you know, guaranteeing it's going to be like, oh, yes, this is going to be the graveyard dredge deck from Ravnica. Like, no, they might not actually put the whole... like the best mechanic in there, but you know, just something in there that's related to the Planeswalker. It's going to be the Planeswalker, a couple cards with the Planeswalker's name on it, like, you know, maybe a creature or a spell that the Planeswalker is known for, like Jace's Ingenuity or whatever the case may be, and a few other cards in there, and like, oh yeah, well, you know, this is also a mill deck, and the set's coming up as a mill set, so here's your mill mechanic. But, you know, not enough to break the format, but enough to kind of give you an idea for what the deck is supposed to do.
Let's hope so. Now, another thing that they're adding in that's not going to be in the expansion, but will be standard legal and will be in the Planeswalker deck, you're getting two copies of a rare spell that does a thing and tutors for that specific Planeswalker. Not go search for a Chandra type, but go search for Chandra, she's on fire! Like, it'll search for that specific card of Planeswalker. And that's really cool because it gets around the problem, well, it's a mythic, so they don't want to put multiple copies in. So,
but if the deck is built around it, you're going to need something.
Yeah, you're going to want it. So now you have the one copy and two tutors, and that's cool.
Yep. And the best part is the tutors actually go from the library or the graveyard. So, like, unless something in this particular thing exiles the Planeswalker, you don't have to worry about ever, like, losing it.
Right. So that's cool. And then there will be three copies of an uncommon that is enhanced by having the Planeswalker on the battlefield. And this will be, this one will look at any version of the Planeswalker. So if you control a Chandra Planeswalker, it's bigger and has First Strike or something, you know, whatever.
Yay. I'm all down for that.
Yeah. And then it says four copies of a common flavored to the Planeswalker. So it'll be a basic spell that has them in the art.
Chandra's Ignitions or whatever.
Possibly.
Or Chandra's invent a word that Chandra would have.
Yeah, because it sounds like these are still going to be new cards.
Yeah.
I'm not, well, then again, maybe not.
Well, for the four copies of a common flavored card for the Planeswalker, there are a few cards that already exist that are related to the Planeswalkers, like, you know.
Like Jason's Sandra's Phantasm.
Yeah, and like, what was it, Sandra's Phoenix and stuff like that, I think it is. So, yeah, so like, there are a couple of creatures and spells that kind of already fall into that category, so. If it's already a Planeswalker that already has a thing, then that could just be a place for a good reprint. But it also could be a new one. Like, you know, get a new Planeswalker that's related to the set that's in here. This particular Planeswalker hasn't existed before, so he or she needs a new common. Get it on it, Wasi.
Hey, oh, excuse me.
Chandra's Matchbox.
What I don't quite understand is that it says there are going to be five cards in each one, each deck, that won't be found in the expansion, but will be standard legal. So you get the Planeswalker, the rare spell, that's two, the uncommon, that's three, the common, that's four, and then it says four copies of an appropriate common dual land. So this is weird, and I really want to just read this straight up, and you guys tell me what you think. Oath of the Gatewatch and Shadows over Innistrad introduced a 10-card cycle of dual lands that enter the battlefield tapped, right?
Right.
Nice and simple. It is our intention to make sure that 10-card cycle stays standard legal so that budget players will always have access to them. So what? It says for Planeswalker decks, the plan is to include the appropriate ETB, enters the battlefield tapped, dual lands that matches the colors of the deck. It'll have brand new art tied to the world of the block, and there will be four copies of this card. So...
Hmm. That doesn't count up to a full cycle of 10.
It doesn't. So does that mean that those 10 cards are just going to be dispersed throughout every other block or so?
Well, if they alternate blocks with them, then they'll always be standard illegal. If they just do 5 and 5.
Or they might just like toss them into the sample packs. Because the cards from the sample decks, the 30 cards from the sample decks are also typically included in standard as well.
That's a good point. What's the rarity on those? Are those uncommon?
Which ones?
The
Enter the Battlefield tapped ones.
I believe
they're all common.
I believe they're common now that I think about it.
The ones that are just untapped and don't do anything weird, I think those are always commons.
Oh, okay.
What? Like, it'd be dumb to put that at uncommon because they're awful.
Do we know the name of any of them off the top of our heads? Wait a minute, I have advanced search. I can search for... What's that, were they in?
Shadows.
Battlefield tap.
Shadows, add, and type, land, and search. Hang on a minute, we got this.
It's coming.
Rare.
Breaking news, everyone.
Those are basics. Here we go, Forsaken Sanctuary. Enters the battlefield tapped, add a black or a white. It is uncommon. I didn't think they would have dual lands at common, but this article says four copies of a common dual land cycle. I was like,
maybe
what?
It's a typo.
Maybe that's maybe a typo. It's
really uncommon, but,
Stan corrected then. I guess I just see them so often that I assume they're commons.
You know what happens when you assume, right?
Asses.
What? No, you misremember and you're wrong. What the hell, Bill? So
I mean, this can be the same.
Fair enough. So I'm just wondering, like I said, if those are always going to be just alternated, like you said, you know, one set of five in each block or something like that. I mean, I think it's great, but I also think people are going to get real sick of them and they're going to complain. But then that's what Magic players do, so what do we care, right?
Well, they're potentially using this as an opportunity to not bloat each set with a cycle of those two. I mean, we had some concern when they went to the new system of not having core sets that the necessity to have some cards in standard would just take away from the sets themselves. And so this might be a way to kind of get around that.
All right. And then on top of that, I believe, even in the article, it said that just because the Planeswalker for the deck might actually be monocolor like Chandra, it doesn't always have to be. It's not always going to be like a monocolored deck. The deck could potentially be like dual colors.
Oh, no, said that they're going to be two color.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like, right now they're saying it's two color, but I can easily see there being a point where it's like, all right, well, we're going to make it a three color deck and a two color Planeswalker. You know, try to find some way to get like a decent balance in there so it can fit more than just the one land.
Possibly.
Or they'll potentially like put the one land here, put the one land there, and then just put the other three like in the main set for whatever it's leading into.
That would be really weird though to have three-fifths of a cycle in a set.
Yeah, no, but like, you know, maybe it's something they're trying to like save a little like card slot spot for. I don't know. Maybe like, you know, I'm just saying it's just one of those, they have this, they'll put it here. They have the intro decks, so they could potentially, not saying they would, but you know, they have that as an option.
Wait, nope. I just read a paragraph I missed before. The Planeswalker decks will premiere with Kaladesh this year's fall set, where they will replace intro packs. Whoops.
Aha, get there.
Yes.
Oh, well.
Unfortunately, we got there so much later that we've already been tweeted at.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's fine. So that's this new product. It seems pretty cool. Like, having five intro packs that no one cares about, it'll probably be better to have two Planeswalker decks that some people will care about. Yeah.
That would have, which also gives them a chance to have cards that aren't in the set. So, like, I kind of think it's a good thing because, like, say, for instance, if this Chandra was there and they wanted to print Chandra's rare card and her uncommon card and her common creature card and a land for her, that's four cards that would actually take away from cards that could have been in a set that didn't have to do anything with her.
Yep.
So this gives you a chance to be like, oh, yeah, here's all this flavorful stuff for this particular Planeswalker. And now we can actually have that room in the set to put something else here of not flavor to the Planeswalker, but something to the actual plane or the set.
Because goodness knows, we don't need even more art that has Chandra casting a fire spell in normal sets.
Right. And the other one good thing I want to point out about it that I think is of interest is that because this Planeswalker would be different from the other one, it also gives them the opportunity to make new versions of the same Planeswalkers and add more Planeswalkers to a particular set. Like, so for instance, like Sandra is linked to the set because it's her home plane. She might not be in that particular first block, but that means that we can still put other Planeswalkers there or have two versions of Sandra in standard.
Oh.
So this one could actually like work with that one as well.
So, okay, I get it. So sort of like how Tamiyo is obviously there in Innistrad, but she's not in Shadows Over Innistrad as a Planeswalker, but they could potentially have a Tamiyo Planeswalker deck.
Right. And then it's like, oh yeah, Shadows. it's like, cause before when we were on, Zendikar, right? They had Omnixilis, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Omnixilis plays a part in the story, but if you just go by the booster packs and just go by the overall, like, arcing story, Omnixilis kind of really doesn't do much. I mean, he does, but as far as, like, the overall story of the block, he's just kind of there.
Yeah, we mentioned this on last week's Mana Pool, where when you ask everybody who's the villain of Oath of the Gatewatch, you get the Eldrazi. Right.
Right. But, like, if he had his own intro pack before the set started, and it was him versus Nissa in that particular intro pack, then yeah, now you have Nissa, she's there, he's here as well. Now when we actually get to the set, now we actually have a place where we can actually put Ugin or some other Planeswalkers that should have been there to kind of help seal away the Eldrazi or whatever, without it actually all fitting into the exact same, like, compact set.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I think it's also interesting, like, I'd like to sit down and talk to one of the developers on these things to see what their production time is compared against the set itself. Because if they're a lot shorter, they might also be able to use these packs to add cards to standard to fix problems. Not that that's the goal, but I mean, it is an option available.
Yeah. It'd be like, oh yeah, like that Delver is really getting out of hand. Well, that's perfectly fine. We've got an intro pack set coming up that's going to be available really soon. So we can just like slide something.
It's going to have a single green Death Touch Spider with reach. Yeah. Cannot be bounced. Like, I think, depending on how they build these things, they can probably use them as a safety valve without having to put those cards in the main sets. Like, there's a bunch of cards that you'll see, like, yeah, that's just in there in case things become problematic with the graveyard, and then when they don't, it's just a wasted card slot. But they can stick the silver bullets and stuff like this.
The problem with that is that the target audience won't care. And then all of the sharks will buy them all up, and that completely defeats the purpose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is I don't think it's a tool they would ever want to use, but it could become an available tool.
Right. Like it is an option, but it's not the option you're going to go to.
God,
every
let's hope it never comes to that, because that sounds
terrible. I mean, whenever that happens, they've made a mistake. But when they reach the point of, okay, well, we either ban this archetype to oblivion, or we compromise slightly on our plans for this widely distributed product, and just dump four of them in it, so that at least you don't have to get a ton of them.
Hmm.
But again, this is speculation on a scenario that would be speculation in and of itself.
Yeah. I mean, Wizards has been screwing up so much lately that we sort of have to take that into account. So, so let's move on to the other thing that Rosewater mentions here, is the Fat Pack. It is no longer known as the Fat Pack.
Oh no.
Because people were shaming it. So it is now called the Set Name Bundle. So the first one will be the Kaladesh Bundle, which it's essentially the Fat Pack. So you get the box, like always.
It's not a Fat Pack. It's a robust pack.
Yeah, it's a big bone pack. You get the 80-card land pack.
Woo.
Yeah. You get 10 boosters now instead of, what is it, 9?
It's currently 9.
Yeah. You get the little player's guide thing, the spin down counter, the rules reference card, of course. And it is $42.99. You know, ever since they introduced the Fat Pack, ever since they retooled the Fat Pack back in, I think it was Mirrodin, they just keep adding boosters and keep jacking up the price. Every couple years, they add another booster, and the price goes up a little bit.
So the Fat Pack's gotten fatter and decided to change its name.
I guess so, yeah.
Well, in the case of this one, it worked in our favor, because they upped the price by $1 and they added a pack. Like,
they were $41.99 already?
Yeah.
Ugh. I haven't bought any Magic in a long time because I'm broke.
Yeah, they broke the $40 barrier a year or two ago and they went up to $9.
Damn!
Well, mind you, the cost of a pack also went up.
That is true. What was that, Kelvin? You were fuzzy.
What? Oh, Fat Packs are typically how I get my Magic. You know, that's because, you know, I get the lands I need out of it, especially if the artwork for the lands are pretty. And then on top of that, I get my booster packs.
So how hard is it to get those fat packs away from clues?
You really don't want to know what I had to do to get a few fat packs from Zendikar from clues.
It's tough. I had to break into his house.
So anyway, something that Bill mentions here in the show notes is that there's no mention of the tiny deck boxes, which I think is fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I just noted as being missing because after I broke into Clues' house and took all those fat packs, I opened them. And so I have a ton of tiny little, you know, paper folding cheap deck boxes. And I just give them to kids at F&M because they don't necessarily have stuff like that. But they're not very useful for seasoned players because you can't fit a deck and
sleeves. And a sideboard.
Yeah, you can't do any of that. And now that the pre-release packs are large enough to act as deck boxes, it's becoming less of a need. But I did note that they weren't there anymore.
Hmm.
Actually, now that I'm looking at this.
What?
So what happens to that intro deck that they had that had two decks in it that you could just kind of splash together?
Oh, they stopped doing that a few sets ago. Yeah.
Those are double checking.
And I guess
technically, you know how I know that is because somebody asked Rosewater on Tumblr and he answered them. And somehow that found its way to me. And I was like, oh, okay, so they just don't do it anymore. Good to know. Thanks.
So one other thing to note here is that there's no mention of the fold-out poster thing.
Mind those are so cool.
I don't know how many people look at those, but technically if you take the big wrapped around the fat pack thing out and actually unring it, there's a poster on the back. Or at least I haven't looked at them directly in a while, but I know for the longest time there were posters on the back.
I actually have a whole stack of those somewhere, most of which I managed to not rip a big chunk off of because the glue actually glued.
Yeah. Early on when I first got into Magic, there was this thing for about 2 years where every single one of those had a dragon on it, like all of them.
Yeah.
They just kept doing dragons. And so I took like five of them and I ran them together as like a mini poster. And it was pretty neat. Like I have nowhere to put that on my wall now, but I could very much see, you know, a 13 or 14 year old being psyched about having all these little bits of free poster to put on the wall since they bought the product for other reasons. And I don't see any mention of it here, but it also could just be a case of
they're just not mentioning it.
They're just not mentioning it because it's such a small part of it.
Yeah.
It's a secret.
We'll find out as we get closer, I guess.
It's a secret to everybody.
They probably haven't figured it out yet.
So that's just the next bullet point.
Yeah.
That's not all news, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we're not even done with the news announcement.
That's right.
So the next big thing, and the reason that we wanted Calvin on here,
I wouldn't be here for any particular reason.
Other than his incredibly silky smooth voice, we have the announcement of Commander 2016.
Yeah!
And this is actually huge because, okay, so the original Commander was Wedges?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
And the second one was Shards?
Yes.
Yep.
And then the third one was two colors?
Monocolor.
The third one was monocolor.
Oh, the third one was monocolored. The fourth one was two colors, right?
We got two colors last year.
And they were they allied colors or enemy colors? I don't remember.
They were enemy colors.
They were enemy colors. So now you'd think this year they're going to do the allied colored commander
decks. That's what you would think.
But
that's
no.
Exactly what you would think.
You know what? They said, you know, we're not going to do what you think. Instead, everyone gets Mardu Green and Jeskai Black. They're doing four color commander decks with four colored commanders, obviously, because you have to have them. And that is cool because there are not that many.
There are none.
There are none.
Oh, okay.
The Nephilim were not legendary.
Oh, they weren't, were they? No.
Nope. Mark Rosewater has said himself that if he had a chance to go back and change one thing of Magic history, he would have went back and retconned that they would be legendary. But currently, the Nephilim, as far as the four colors go, they're basically the only, like, four color cards that aren't also the fifth color, like the four pie.
Right. But not for long. So now, well, not now, but in November, you will be able to have four color commander decks without fudging the rules. And that's really cool.
It's going to be interesting because in the absence of a set that goes four colors, which I don't think they could sustain.
No.
Like they've mentioned several times that at that point, you're being defined by the color you're not, and that is really limiting for design. The possibility that we'll actually get names for these things that aren't just the Nephilim that most people can't remember the names for would be interesting. Like, it'll probably be named after whichever one gets the big fancy front of the box spot, unless they come up with words, but I think it'll be pretty neat. Admittedly, more likely that I'll pick this up than the last few products, just because this is the only way you'll be able to legitimately play four colors.
Yeah.
So they've cornered that market.
They've got my dollars. I'm guaranteeing that I will purchase all five of these. As soon as I read this in the show notes, I put money to the side so I can start saving up now to make sure that I have it.
Setting aside $150.
You're like, this dollar right here is the first of the stack of dollars that will go to Wizards.
This is going to be in my Ink Treader deck.
Like, this is the tip of what will be going to Wizards.
So, yeah, hell yeah. That's awesome. If you're into that sort of thing, and even if you're not, that's still awesome. Like, this is a thing that is new. Not just, oh, look, it's planeswalkers that could be used as commanders. Ha ha. No, this is actually a thing that they haven't done but once ever. And that's four colored things.
Every time four colors has been mentioned, you get some real hesitation out of the creative or the R&D person because it's really hard to do.
Yep.
Like, the design level on that is crazy because accounting for four different aspects of a card in one card is really, really hard, especially if you're also actively avoiding including the fifth one.
Yeah.
The overlap in the color pie makes it remarkably difficult to do that. So it'll be really interesting to see what a not blue looks like. I mean, I imagine Clues will be playing it, but beyond that,
it looks like Clues grinning.
It's like a picture of Clues with a bow tie underwater, just punching the ocean from the inside.
So let's see here. There will be 56 new Magic cards legal in the Eternal formats, which are just Vintage and Legacy, remember, but nowhere else, like all the other Commander sets. We get 56 new cards, at least five of which will be four color. And that's cool. And again, that is November 11th as a release
date. And while granted, at least five of them will be four color, I'm personally going under the assumption that about somewhere between 10 to 15 of them would be four color.
I mean,
it'd be really weird if they didn't find a way to have all of the four colors have the same number of cards.
I mean, they also, in all the sets that thus far, there's been the one main commander and then two backup commanders. But those two backup commanders have been from existing Magic cards.
Not necessarily.
Oh, that's true. Not all of them.
Because typically what it is you'll get with the original, when we had the wedges, we got three commanders that had not previously existed. It would be like, what was it? We had Rune. We had Zedru, and who was the other red, white, blue one from that set?
It was the dragon, because
it was technically the dragons.
Typically we have like three legends in each one that could potentially swap out for the commander.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And normally it would be like, oh yeah, well, we'll just take this old commander from somewhere else that has this color combination and we'll slap in two new ones.
Exactly. But
with this particular set, there is no four color old legendary one that we can slip in there, unless of course they decide to retroactively make the Nephilim legendary and put them into this particular product, but which not this
I don't see them doing.
Yeah, but discounting that, like keeping that as something that they don't do, then you know, you kind of have a product where it's like, oh yeah, well, it's only got one commander, this is the only commander that can possibly be played with this deck. Normally they'll be like, all right, well, at least they'll put in like two in each one. So yeah. Now it's like, yeah, you can switch between this one or you could play with this one. So now you have eight decks that will be available in the four color pie.
Yeah. My prediction, just off the top of my head without putting any hard thought into it, is there'll be the one in the front of the box. There'll be another four color legendary creature in each, thing. And there will be at least one four colored other thing in each deck.
Deck.
Whether it's a spell or an enchantment or a thing, but there will be another cycle of four colored things. So I'm predicting a minimum of 15 four colored cards. That's my guess.
It'd be the Nephilim.
That is possible that they will throw the Nephilim in too. Yeah.
They'll throw the Nephilim in just because this would be one of the only places they could, one, print them again, and two, make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. I meant 15 new ones. That's what I meant.
Well, in terms of another new card possibility that I think they might take advantage of, is they could print a creature that's only one or two colors with off-color activations or something so that it still fulfills the identity requirements.
That's kind of what I'm hoping that they're doing with the legendaries.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a four-color legendary. Yeah, it can just be a four-color identity legendary. Oh!
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going to go with it, because what I'm hoping for is that, yes, we'll have two new commanders, but like, say, for instance, in the red, white, blue, green one, you'll have a red, white commander who has a blue, green activated ability. And then you'll have a blue, green commander who has like a red, white activated ability. So this way it's still within a color identity. So it can still be used as your commander and you can still use it for four colors. But, you know, technically speaking, you really only need two mana to cast it.
I completely forgot about that as an option. That's cool. Nice thinking, Captain Red Zone, sir.
And the best part about that is, the best part about that, as far as I was looking at, is even if they decided to go with like three new legends for each one, you could have a red, white one, a blue, green one, and then have like a blue, white one with like a red, whatever activated cost. So you can still technically have three commanders who have abilities that kind of don't really link all directly together, but they do kind of have this thing going on.
They could also make the world explode with hybrid mana.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't say it's like for every particular one. It's like, you know, like, yeah, you could have one that's just like a solid four color cost. Like the original cost would just be like, say for instance, they made a new version of Nephilim that were legendary, not the old ones, but you know, like some type of creature, four colors in the casting cost, boom. And then the minor commanders that would be inside the deck would be the ones that have the hybrid costs in their activated abilities or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you can still swap between four colors, technically.
And that opens up a lot of design space too.
Right. Or if you wanted to, you could just go straight up, just cast the Nephilim or the new Nephilim colored guy and just call it a day.
Yeah. Now, bearing in mind, whatever they print in these slots will only work in these decks. Or Wooburg decks, as far as Commander's concerned.
Right.
Due to the nature of their color identities. So they're going to actually have to work really hard on this product to make sure they don't screw that up.
But the thing here is that with the new ruling for Commander, they can still be used. Like, say, for instance, if we go back to the Boros with the Sigmet,
Simic.
Simic. Like, say, for instance, it is a Boros Commander with a Simic of activated ability. You can still play a red-white deck. But if you have an artifact that produces color of a different type, like say like a Darksteel Ingot, you can tap it and use it still for the green activated ability. Because the way they changed the rules for Commander, now whenever mana is produced, it produces that color. So if you had, say for instance, a Boros Commander that had the Sigmet, the Simic activated ability, yeah, you could still build a red-white deck. It could still be him. But as long as you're able to steal enough stuff from somebody else with Red's ability to steal, or you had enough things like it produces a color of land that your opponent happens to have. Now you can be able to still activate his ability as well, or her ability if it's female, or its ability if it's a creature, or whatever the case may be.
There's a lot of potential. They just have to be careful.
Right. You know, there's ways to work around with it. So
that's a really nice thought. I forgot about the color producing rule change. That's so it opens up flexibility. Like you can still, since you're Calvin, you could still just build your red white deck like you wanted to, and you can throw enough
green happen to slip in there.
Yeah, you can throw enough mana rocks and whatnot in there so that you can cheat, quote unquote, and bust out this blue green ability. We're getting off topic here because. Calvin, no, this is much better topic. This.
It's completely on topic. This is exactly the topic that I came out here for. Like, you think I came to Monday Night Magic to talk about tournaments and news? No, I came here to talk about Commander, sir.
We admittedly don't come here to talk about tournaments. It's just expected.
Yeah. So that's awesome. So next up, it won't open. Next up is, you remember the Dual Deck Anthology?
Yeah, yes. I collected the first four dual decks.
Yeah. Well, now they're doing... Plane Chase Anthology.
That excites me more.
Which is interesting.
Right up my alley.
So this is weird. Instead of collecting like all of one of the Plane Chases,
mm-hmm.
it Okay, wait. Let me just read off what's in here. Plane Chase Anthology showcases cards, both planar and normal, from Plane Chase and Plane Chase 2012 edition.
Yep.
Okay? It says that it will contain 4 ready-to-play 60-card decks from Plane Chase 2012.
Mm-hmm.
So there were only 4 decks in Plane Chase 2012, right?
Yep.
Okay. I thought that they were 4
of these. I believe that is the case, yeah.
So they're going to have the 2012 decks, but they're going to have 86 planar cards.
Yes, it will.
Which means for any of you that enjoy Plane Chase but don't have all of or enough of the planar cards, hold on to your butts. Because 86 yeah. planar cards, that's a lot.
Well, also note that not all of the planar cards were available in the 2 Plane Chases.
No, they weren't.
And there were several promos and whatnot. I know that it annoyed my co-host Mike because he was actually trying to get them all.
Yeah, I remember that the antics that people would go through to get those. And that was just for people who were fortunate enough to be in regions where they were available if somewhat hard to get. There are other places that just didn't get them. So naturally, they're releasing this amazing product in English only.
Mm.
So what trips me out is that... wait.
And doesn't have like 80 oversized sleeves too.
Wait, what? I oh my god, it's broken.
I'm pretty sure, like in the article, Lincoln also mentions that that the product will be coming with oversized sleeves for your oversized planar chase cards.
Let's see. So you get 86 planar cards, 4 slide deck boxes, an oversized slide deck box for your planar cards, 35 double-sided tokens. That's cool. Special edition planar die. All right. 4 spin down life counters and a strategy insert. It actually doesn't say anything about sleeves.
Maybe I must have been confusing the sleeves with the oversized deck box thing.
Possibly.
I was kind of skimming through it while I was trying to make sure I was getting everything. I must have misread that one.
So I continue. I went to Gatherer and typed in type plane. I actually selected plane from the list, hit add, hit search, and it gave me a list of planeswalkers.
Yes.
So Gatherer is broken. I was going to look up how many planar cards there are.
For the planar cards, you have to like go to like a specific setting for it, because if you put planes, it looks for the planeswalkers. I think there's like you have to look for like the actual like product or something. I forget the actual way Gatherer works for it. But yes, there would be there are 80 of them or at least, because each deck had 10 of their own individual cards.
Oh, okay.
And from the previous year, from the previous year when they initially came out, those decks had their own 10 individual playing cards as well. So between the 10 from the original, 10 from the secondary, and the additional ones that were not available within the product, the ones you had to go to like particular events for or had to pick up from some type of like black market dealer, then yeah, that would basically be all 86 or 87 of them.
Oh, wait a minute. I bet Magic Cards That Info has them. Screw you, Gatherer.
Gatherer does not know logic.
Type.
How dare you go to Magic Gatherer to look for a magic card?
Plane. Wait, here we go. Type. Tribal Planeswalker. Oh, it's not here. Well, screw you, Planeswalker.info.
How dare you go to Planeswalker.info to look for a plane?
I mean, excuse me, MagicCards.info. I can't even speak. I'm so mad.
Rage.
Why does this not exist? All right, you know what? I didn't want to have to do it. You know who's got them?
Mike.
Oh, I was going to go to Star City Games.
Oh, I guess you could do that. I'm just imagining you calling Mike and going, Mike, count your planes. He's like, well, I happen to have them right here.
Yeah, well, no one might.
He pulls them out of his beard and counts them.
All right, you know what? Star City search also sucks. Never mind. Never mind. We don't know how many there are because everything that would list them sucks. Oh, here we go. Magic Librarities. How many are there? 1 through 40. That's the original. Okay, here we go. There were apparently 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 promos. Hey! That's 86!
That's amazing.
So I think Kelvin might be right. I think that this might actually be all of the pre-existing planes.
I think it did say all of them in the description.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
It says showcases card. Okay, let me go read this description again. previous blah, 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 travel, blah, 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 and I can own every planar card ever printed. See, that's what I get for going to the actual product description to read. It doesn't say that in the product description. It says that in the announcement about the product description.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn it, so, Wizards.
That said, this thing has MSRP of 150. I'll probably actually get it because I didn't buy any of the Plane Chase cards before. Plane Chase is not my favorite side gimmick, but having all of them at once is different.
Right. And the best part about the planes was they have various ways that you are supposed to play with them. And the main way I've always ended up using them was just a giant stack of planes in the middle.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what we did too.
Yeah. And while granted, Wizards is like, oh yeah, you can just break them up. And like, you know, this person has his plane and this person has their plane. It's like, yeah, that's cute, but I'd rather just throw it into the middle.
I love the randomness of not knowing you're suddenly surrounded by sheep.
Right. And then and me personally, the way I ended up doing it was when the conspiracy cards came out, I also picked them up as well and I included them into the giant stack and I just treat them like the phenomenons.
Oh, that's cool. So that comes out November 25th, just in time for Christmas.
Taking all of your money in November.
Yep.
That's really rough, actually. Commander coming out and then literally 2 weeks later, Duel Decks Anthology. Or yeah. Plane Chase Anthology that's like, you know what? You don't need $350 or whatever it comes out to. Some ridiculous amount of money.
Like, yeah, so Wizards is basically saying, like, yeah, you don't need to go off and buy that brand new electronical gaming system. You know what you want this Christmas?
Family.
Like, yeah, you know what you want for this Christmas? You want this bucket load of magic cards.
The stuff that your family and friends cannot find. Plane Chase Anthology is not going to be a target.
Like your computer, like your table has never been more full.
But we're still not done yet.
No. No, why would we be done? We're getting all the announcements through the beginning of next year.
They also announced that Duel Decks, Nissa versus Obnixilis, will be coming out in September. Now, did we know that already? Because that sounds familiar. Next Duel Deck?
I don't think that had been announced yet.
Oh, okay. Maybe that doesn't sound familiar then.
I would have made a Kool-Aid joke by now.
Oh, yeah. So that's cool. The next Duel Decks. Back when I wasn't broke, I would buy two things every time it came. Well, three things. I would buy the Fat Pack, I would buy the Duel Deck, and I would buy the commander sets, which means in recent years I haven't bought any of that stuff.
Yeah,
but though it's good to see that the things that I would spend my money on to keep me in touch with Magic as far as a player are still around and are still getting some love, and even old ones like Plane Chase are also still getting some love. I wonder if that means they're going to be doing more Plane Chase in the future and this is just a way to get people back into it. Hey, remember how awesome this was? Check it out. Or
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like a way for them to test the waters to see if it's still something people are interested in.
Yeah. Well, they've got more planes now than they did before, so they can do some stuff.
Right, but in the same token, it's their summer product rotation where initially, from my understanding, it was supposed to be every summer was supposed to be something new for multiplayer formats or whatever the case may be.
Yep.
And it was going to be Plane Chase, and we've got Conspiracy, and then we got the Commander.
What was the other thing?
Arch Enemy.
Yeah, and we got Arch Enemy, and then we got the Modern Masters.
That doesn't count.
It was the
Conspiracy. Conspiracy was supposed to be like the fun group multiplayer thing. Right, yeah, it's drafting, but it was designed to be like their quirky summer fun project.
Yeah, yeah. Which, I mean, it was totally fun if you ever got to draft it. It's amazing.
Right. But then the problem with that rotation of like products was Commander took off and got its own basic spot every year by itself.
Yep.
The Conspiracy thing people enjoyed and, you know, people would be purchasing it. But then you have to look at things like like the Arch Enemy one where it's like, yeah, that was kind of fun depending on your view of playing it. But as far as like overall, the vast majority of it just kind of really didn't do as well as like say Plane Chase or the other products did. So I'm kind of not surprised that Arch Enemy has kind of vanished. But now with this, it's just kind of they know what they want to do for summer because they have some other stuff that's still coming up. But if they put the Plane Chase stuff in this anthology, it kind of gives people a chance to one, collect up all these 86 cards from the planes that they haven't purchased before that they'll probably never get a chance to get a hold of again.
And depending on how well it does, it will let them know if there's still a market for it. And if there's still a market for it, then they can potentially bring it back later.
It's also a product that requires zero development time.
That is very true. It just requires some like packaging and printing. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That said, the art on Nissa versus Don Nicholas is pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially the actual like fight.
Art. Yeah, like they're actually fighting. They're not just staring at each other like in the old dual decks.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of hoping this doesn't get quote unquote newer players confused with the planeswalker decks that'll be taking the intro packs place.
Nah, I don't think so because it's one package and it says dual decks really big. So I think it'll be fine.
I'm pretty sure it will be fine. In the front.
Exactly.
I'm pretty sure it will be fine. I'm not saying that it will be a problem. I'm just saying there's probably going to be like some poor sucker out there that's going to be like, oh yeah, I want to get into this Magic game and I want to be able to play. Like, oh yeah, go buy the deck that has the planeswalkers on the front. And then they walk in the shop. Yo, give me the deck with the planeswalkers on the front. And they get this. And then they realize now they've got these two decks that they play with and they've learned how to play, but none of their cards are standard legal. And now they got to go buy another planeswalker deck. I'm pretty sure like after that first initial thing, they'll catch on and realize where they messed up at. But you know, it's just one of those, I get it. I'm pretty sure it won't be a problem, but there is always that like percentage.
Well, that's totally going to happen to some people because
it's going to happen.
It just is. Yeah.
Yeah. But, on the plus side, they'll end up with good planeswalkers.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I mean, these are both good cards, so.
So let's see. We're still not done.
Nah.
Nope.
So we know that Conspiracy, which the final title after all of their marketing shenanigans is called Take the Crown.
Yoink.
You take the crown.
But now they're not just selling it as a booster box. Now you can actually buy draft packs. So it'll be three boosters of Conspiracy just right there for $11.99. Boom. There you go.
Makes sense.
So it's cool. Instead of having to buy a box and get a bunch of friends, you can buy two of these and get one friend. There you go. And they'll be selling these at mass market stores, so like Walmart and Target, so they're easier to get your hands on.
It'll also make it easier when people want to play, just in general. Like, everybody just bring three packs. Just go pick them up.
Exactly.
Without one person having to go all in on buying a box and then handling distribution and all of that. So. Yep.
And then everybody kind of like just already knows like what they have. And even if you're not in the process of buying the entire box, you can just pick it up and just have it for yourself and just crack some packs.
Don't do that though.
Not necessarily saying that's what you would do.
These are probably not the ones to crack.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a thing for, apparently just for the multiplayer thing. Cause it doesn't say they'll be coming out for other sets. It just mentions the new Magic multiplayer draft set. So I don't know. This is probably a thing they're going to test out and see how it works and then go from there.
I wouldn't be surprised if it becomes available in both boxes and the $11.99 pack as well. You know, it's do you want to just buy the whole box? Fine. Here, buy the whole box.
Oh yeah. I mean, they're totally still going to have.
You're just not going to see the boxes in like your local store.
Yeah, you're not going to have a Walmart with a booster box of Conspiracy, but you will have boosted packs. Sorry, draft packs of Conspiracy at Walmart. So
yeah, like realistically the old set they wouldn't sell in a normal store because it was confusing and weird and targeted towards people at a game store.
Exactly.
But now they've got a way to break in,
and that's really cool, actually. Okay, so now we're done with the announcement day announcement. That's actually everything. And that was a lot. Like, holy crap.
Yeah, that's a lot of data.
Good lord, it's already 10 o'clock.
I hope you guys took that all in.
Yeah, and if you didn't, links to most of the stuff it will be in the show notes, as always. So if you didn't see something, go get it. By the way, Nissa versus Obnixilis comes out September 2nd. I don't think I said that. For the usual $20 MSRP. So, okay, that's that. Oh yeah, we didn't mention when we were talking about Kaladesh, we get a new planeswalker named Saheeli Rai. She's hanging out here on Kaladesh next to the amusement park, playing with her little wind chime that's not suspended from anything. That's how you know she's a planeswalker, because she has a wind chime that's suspended, but it's not suspended from anything. She's just making it float.
Yep. Hmm. That's also how you know that the owner of Six Flags is also a planeswalker, because he's apparently gone to Kaladesh and opened up his own new amusement park there. So Don't be surprised when we go back to Innistrad if you happen to see like the Scream Machine available.
But yeah, that's literally, this picture is all we know. So feel free to do your thing and speculate and whatever, but.
Yes, speculate on her ethnicity, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what people are already doing.
Mm.
I did see somewhere. No, it was somebody was talking to me, like on Facebook this morning, and they were like, finally, hang on, let me find it. It was Jacob. Jacob, what'd you say? He said, an artifact/engineering world with no expectations, meaning it's not Mirrodin. And I was like, wrong, Thopters. Because that's all we know about Kaladesh is that there are Thopters freaking everywhere.
Yup.
And he just kind of, he did the computer version of glaring at me. So I got the three periods, the ellipsis, and that was the whole message. And I was like,
oh, and just, even though it wasn't listed on all that crap that we just went over, From the Vault lore comes out in October.
Right.
It's on the coming soon list with all the set symbols and all that. It's just, it wasn't listed for some reason.
Yeah, so Eternal Masters is June. No, go away. Eldritch Moon is July. Conspiracy is August. The Dual Decks is the beginning of September. Kaladesh is later in September. And From the Vault lore is in October.
And then November comes the Planeswalker, the Planeswalker, Plane Chase, and the Commander.
Yep.
And then I think after that, I think that's the end of it for the year. I don't think they have anything set for like.
Yeah, that's it for this year. And then in January we get Aether Revolt. So yay. That's a whole lot of stuff for the next, 7 months? Eight.
So what Wizards is really saying is that in December, that's the one month you have throughout the year to save your money up so you can purchase a magic product for next year.
That's exactly what people do in December. Save all that money.
I mean, as far as Wizards is concerned, that's what they should be doing, so.
It's like the only, like, that's when you're supposed to be spending money on the stuff you've already bought so you can gift others.
Oh, yeah. Buy that Humble Bundle, and even though you've already got three of the games in the bundle, give those to friends. It's fine.
All right. So, got all those set symbols and stuff. If you'd like to look at Kaladesh some more, the art for Kaladesh will be coming out in January because they're doing the third one of those hardcover fancy art books. They're probably going to keep doing these for every plane we go to.
Yeah, so they started with Zendikar.
Yep.
And then Innistrad comes out sometime soon, right? Here it is. July 5th.
Yeah.
And then they'll do one for Kaladesh, and that's really cool.
It's very pretty looking.
Oh, yeah. So.
Can't wait to see the Kaladesh one, though.
Oh, I'm looking at the art, like, I guess the splash picture of it, and I didn't realize that that is a fancy mechanical elephant.
Yeah, this is totally the World's Fair, man. Look at that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Kaladesh just looks like straight up fun. And it's been a while since we've gone to a plane that just looks like it would be fun to be at.
Like, nothing's on fire, no one's being eaten, no
people look like they're angels. Like, don't get me wrong, this is still Magic the Gathering, so I'm pretty sure this fun will all stop, like, partway through.
You mean when La Revolution and Rebellion happens, and then it goes full Bioshock Infinite on us?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not expecting this plane to always look this happy, but it's, like, what was it, the last plane that we've been on that I can even say even looked even slightly as happy as this was Larwyn.
Yeah, and that worked out great.
Hey, Larwyn was fun.
Yeah,
Larwyn was a wonderful place if you were pretty.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Well, like I said, you know, there are still some fascists on Kaladesh because they were chasing after poor Chandra, so that's fine.
Yeah. Like, you know, don't get me wrong, just fascist, dear. Kaladesh has its dark secrets, of course.
Is Kaladesh perpetual sunset?
That's just the only time you're allowed to take pictures. That's the VR department has.
Golden hour. Gotcha.
The golden hour. That's when, like, all the artifacts, all of our towers have, like, the right shade of sunlight and sparkles on them. So, no. Any pictures before this is illegal. You have to take all photos at exactly 4:30, between 4:30 and 6. Anything before or after that is completely illegal.
Yeah. And you will be reprimanded and taken into the prison. That daylight savings time killed a lot of people. They were not happy.
Yeah.
Like, no, you should have changed your watch, buddy. You're dead now.
Anyway, one more thing about Kaladesh. I was tweeted at earlier by Lars. Lars Birch. Lars Birch. Lars Birch, hey, Lars. Was actually one of the 2014 World Magic Cup champions on the Dane Blast team. I know this because when we went to play some Tavern Brawl and Hearthstone together for one of my videos, I was like, is there anything that I should tell people? And he was like, yeah, I'm a world champion. I was like, what? So,
there's that.
And then he beat the crap out of me. So, you know, that happens. But
in person.
In person, from Denmark. But no, he tweeted at me that Ma and Pa and Nalar are zombie planeswalkers. And I was like, oh, too soon, man.
That's where the revolt comes in. That's when it happens.
Anyway.
Charred planeswalkers.
Let's go. Let's go somewhere. Let's go back to the tournament scene, because there was a tournament this week, but it was just the Star City Open. So all the announcement day news was a little more important.
Yeah.
But the Star City Open was in Indianapolis, and it was Modern.
Yep.
And Modern, which one of these, here it is, was won by Peter Ingram playing Jeskai Control. And I actually really like this deck. Did you see this, Bill?
I'm looking at it now, and I appreciate Nahiri.
There's four Nahiri, four Snapcasters, and then an Emrakul and a Vindiclick. That's your creatures and planeswalkers. Boom.
Here's the head. Nahiri's gonna get Emrakul, you guys. I think that's what she wants to do.
Pretty sure that's
flavorfully and legit.
And then the rest is, you know, your Jeskai, your modern Jeskai colored control suite.
Good stuff.
So yeah, that's pretty cool. Second place was a green blue infect deck, and I had to stop and go, wait, what? But it's playing Blighted Agent and Spell Pierce and Twisted Image and Distortion Strike.
Pretty much how you do it. I mean, you Blighted Agent into a giant Blighted Agent and they're dead.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was Andrew Jessup in second place. Third place is this Valakut deck. Daniel Hendrickson is playing red-green Valakut that is not... that is not... oh god, what's the spell?
Scapeshift.
There we go, thank you. It's not Scapeshift.
It's legit Valakut.
Sort of legit. It's...
Well, like, you're actually going to be playing the cards.
Right. It's got Oracle of Moldiah, and Secura Tribuilder, and Mon Pa Nalar, you know, pre-zombie, and then four copies of Primeval Titan. You remember him? Calvin, yeah. You don't, because he's banned. But
oh, I still love that guy. I remember the Titan.
Oh, look who's in for a judge test. But yeah, Prime Time is an amazing reminder of what happens when they screw up and don't put, you know, basic in front of the word land.
Yeah. But then it's running four each of Search for Tomorrow, Farseek, Oath of Nyssa, and then it's got Through the Breach and Summoner's Pact. So you're totally powering out these guys. Or once you have enough land or enough Valakuts out, you're powering out more land to zap people with. This is crazy. I really wish that I had watched some. I might actually have to go watch this deck played to see exactly what the hell, because that's all I can think of when I look at it is what the hell.
Yeah, it seems committed to its goal of, oh, you did.
Yeah, that's why it's got Mon Pa Nalar in it, isn't it? Oh, they did.
Sure are.
Fourth place is Alex Zarowski playing Green Black Infect. And I saw that and I went, wait, what?
Yeah, Green Black Infect.
But it's running, I don't know if this is normal. It's running four copies of Phyrexian Crusader. Is that normal?
It wasn't standard when Infect was here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it also has protection from the colors of red and white, which kind of sucks for me, but might not be that bad for other players. And also, since it has First Strike, it makes it a little bit easier. So it's like, yeah, like, you know, almost any combat it would potentially get involved in with, it can potentially, you know, still squeeze out of that combat as long as you have the right spells to back it up.
It's just, like, I don't look at modern Infect decks because, well, they don't pop up as often as they do in Legacy, so I just don't look at them. So I don't know if this is standard and I'm just not paying attention or what, but it's running Phyrexian Crusader and Plague Stinger in black, and then it's running four Inquisition of Kozilek to cherry pick from your opponent's hand stuff that's going to get in their way. Yeah. And that's really cool.
Yep.
I'm not sure.
Pretty much just clear the path and get your big swing in.
Yeah, I'm just not sure how much of this is normal and how much of this is super secret tech. I didn't even know there were two different Infect decks in Modern. I'm not going to lie.
Well, that's like, when you have the Glistener Elf, that's like your main goal. You drop him down, pump him up real quick, smash before anyone gets any of your defenses in, right?
Right.
The Plague Stinger, that's your secondary win. That's the evasion creature. The Glistener Elf didn't come online or whatever the case may be. Big ground creatures got in his way for whatever reason. Fine. We'll slap this down. And then we have the Ink Moth Nexus as well for like additional flying. Then the Phyrexian Crusaders also kind of does an additional plan B. Like for some reason, like the lands didn't go right. The Stinger isn't going anywhere. The Elf isn't doing anything. Now you can kind of at least with the Phyrexian Crusader, because he has first strike, inevitably he will get through on the ground as long as you can pump him up or get him like a Rancor or something just to kind of keep him big so he can just take care of everything and use the Kozilek card to kind of pick away any other bigger threats that could get in his way in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually it just gets to the point where it's like, all right, well, now the board's clear and I have my Crusader. He's already got five on him. All he has to do is hit you twice, game over. And that's if I let him hit you twice. I might just go right ahead and just pump him up with a groundswell or something.
Yeah, you need the pro white to get around the fact that decks like this tend to have a lot of trouble dealing with things like spirit tokens.
That is a good point.
Oh, well, I guess if I can't give it trample, then I lose. And this does not care.
Nifty.
And so, also, the Jeskai deck is, red-blue and has red and white in it, so there's that. And then if you look, the other top decks have, either red or white in them, except for the green-blue Infect deck.
Yeah, when two Infect decks face off, it's just funny to watch, so. So let's see. Fifth place is Ryan Overturf with Grixis Delver. And it's been a while since I got to say those two words out loud together, and now that I've said it, let's move on. Yeah. Although zombie fish. Gotta love the zombie fish, the one of Gurmag Angler. It's not just for Legacy. Here it is in Modern. Cause sometimes a 5/5 for one is all you need.
Sometimes zombie fish.
Sixth place, Steven Dykeman playing Green Red Tron. It's so nice to see that the Tron decks are surviving without the eye. You know. Now they've got Worldbreakers, so, whatever. This guy is, it's good to see O-Stone in a deck, too. Look at that Oblivion Stone. Anybody remember that card? Anybody?
But not for this reason.
Not for this, but I do. So.
Ooh. Also running Fire Spout, which is really funny.
I definitely remember Fire Spout.
Fire Spout doesn't even remotely touch any of the cards in this deck, but it wipes complete strategies off the board. I find that funny.
Fire Spout is probably one of the best designed hybrid mana cards ever printed.
Oh my god, it's amazing. Seventh place, Dylan Jones playing Jund. This is the deck that, it's Jund, but now it's running Dark Dwellers and Kalitas! There's no more, Olivia's in the board, I guess. So she can still come in out of the board and dong people to death. So that's cool.
It is her way.
The eighth place deck is the one I'm currently got pulled up and I'm looking at.
Isn't this cool? John Pellman running white red control. Yes, you heard that correctly.
Boris.
White red control, which I know is making Calvin's head swim.
Oh, well, it's got the most important control card in Modern in it.
Hang on. Oh, Blood Moon.
Blood Moon.
Okay, I was like, I don't see it. Oh, there it is. But this deck is a trip. Okay, so check this out. I'm gonna hit the spells first. It's got Chalice of the Void. That sounds controly. Blood Moon, of course. Leyline of Sanctity.
Right.
Yeah, okay. That seems good. Lightning Helix. Yep. Anger of the Gods. Board clear. Day of Judgment and Wrath of God.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Timely Reinforcements, because you're playing white and you're playing control, so yeah. And then the creature base, 3 Simian Spirit Guides, 1 Stormbreath Dragon, remember him? And yeah, 1 Emrakul.
Boom. But who gets Emrakul, Chewie?
Well, that would be the rest of the deck, which is hard on the control. It's running 2 copies of the original Boros Planeswalker, a Johnny Vengeant.
So great.
So great. 2 copies of Elspeth's Son's Champion.
You know, that's basically Wrath copies 3 and 4, 4, 5 and 6.
Also, that's the one that vomits 3 soldiers onto the board at a time. So after you wrath, you're just bleh, here's a board full of dudes.
And it makes your Emrakul a 17/17.
And fly.
Double fly.
Double flying.
Just
high
one skies.
Fly. High sky.
Emrakul can't actually fly.
Emrakul does have flying, but you know.
Now he has high sky. He can only block or be blocked by other flyers.
If only that's how it worked.
Sky Shadow it is.
More planeswalkers. 2 copies of the original badass Gideon Jura. The most controlling white planeswalker that has ever been.
My favorite planeswalker.
The sideburns of which I wish I had.
I know, right? I mean, mine are pretty impressive at the moment. That's only because I haven't shaved in a long time. And then 3 copies of Nahiri. Because if you're running Emrakul, you probably want a way to just bleh him onto the battlefield. So there you go. This is really cool.
But Nahiri is finding her way into decks.
I am really happy that Nahiri is not just a gimmick. Like, Nahiri is an actual thing.
Like, I recall when the card was previewed, like, I was excited about Nahiri, and everyone else was like, yeah, she's a good, like, fourth one. And I say everyone else, like, plenty of people were excited too, don't get me wrong. Like, they were all good cards, but she was sort of the bottom of the pile for some people, and I'm glad she's showing up.
Yeah. But I mean, this deck is freaking sweet. Cause it's the colors it's 2 of the colors that I love just below black, but it's also it's a big white red deck.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy.
Right down to having Zealous Conscripts on the board.
Yeah.
This is one of the better examples of how Modern can be a standard greatest hits collection. Because so many of these cards are, if not recent, they're like recent memory.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I have all these, like, the last 3 Boros decks that I've made are just all right here. You just pull the good cards out of each one and then dig out an Emrakul and you're good.
I'm sorry, I can't stop looking at this deck.
I can't either. Like,
feel free to continue on, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to be stuck on this page for a minute. I'm studying this.
Like, if I wasn't going to Charlotte to work, I would consider putting this together because
I could build this.
I've got almost all of this, and what I don't have, I can borrow.
I think I've got everything but the chalices.
So, yeah, this is actually really cool. I'm very happy to see that this did well. Take a quick look at the rest of the top 8. There's an Ad Nauseam deck in 9th, a Kiki Chord in 10th, Bant Eldrazi in 11th. What is this? This is the one with Drowner of Hope. Ooh, Noble Hierarch. Goyf. And Worldbreaker.
Oof.
And Ancient Stirrings. Wow, that's really funny in this deck. Ancient Stirrings. Look at the top 5 cards of your library. Pick one that's not Goyf. Pick one that's not Goyf or Path. Boom. That was Bant Eldrazi. There's another Jund. There's some Elves in 13th place.
There's Zoo down in 26.
Yeah, that's your pretty normal. It's the Elves Collected Company deck. Yep. We've talked about that before. Blah, blah, blah. 2 more Tron. Slivers? Oh, what kind slivers. Of slivers is this?
All the slivers.
It's got Spellskite. That's hilarious.
Spellskite, and then red, black, green, blue, white. It's a 5-color slivers deck. Are you serious right now?
It's got a Hive Lord in the board.
That's
for that important sliver mirror match.
You gotta take them down.
Just in case.
It's a 5-color deck that's got Warping Whale in the board. You know, because it's a 6-color deck in the board.
You gotta go all the way, man. You can cast it with your Sliver Hive.
Oh, freaking Mutavol makes colorless mana. Oh, I forgot about that. Right. Wow. This is nuts. So it's just 31 slivers, a Spellskite, 4 Aether Vial, 4 Collected Company. Boom. Done.
Just looks really affordable.
I honestly, except for the Collected Companies, I own this deck. Like, totally. Oh, and the Caverns. I have no Caverns.
You got no Caverns?
I got no Caverns.
That's sad.
Not really. I don't play Magic. oh, look! Decepticons in 17th place.
All right. Robots.
Where are they at?
17th.
There we go.
Another blue-green infect in 18th. 4-color bring to light. Jeff Hoogland, what have you done?
He's traveled here from the past.
Wow, he is dead serious, too. Look at this deck. It's running three Snapcaster Mages as its creature base, and then everything else is just over here being nonsense.
Escape Shift.
And there's Escape Shift, because, you know, why the hell not?
I mean, you got two Valakut, you get there.
Yeah, in addition to all this other stuff, we've got... I threw in two Escape Shift, too, because win conditions. What the hell is Eldrazi Taxes? Oh, my God.
Inevitable?
Oh, my God, oh, look at this. It's Hate Bears with Eldrazi.
I mean, sure.
Spellskite, Tidehollow Sculler, Flicker Wisp, Leonin Arbiter, blah, 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 and Thalia. And then four of them, mind you. And then there's the Eldrazi Displacer, the Reality Smasher, the Thought Not Seer, the Wasteland Strangler. Four Aether Vial. Oh, my God. What is going on? Is Modern really, like, this open? I mean, granted, it's just a Star City Open where... What, 600 and
some? There are two Modern GPs next week. This is probably testing grounds.
That's a good point. 674 people showed up, which is actually not a small number.
No, it's not. But, like, if you were going to one of the two GPs this coming weekend, this would be a great place to test your deck against other Modern decks.
Yeah. So, wow. I'm loving this. I'm hoping that Charlotte and, what is it, LA?
Is that where I know it's in California. I don't remember where.
Charlotte and place in California are both... actually interesting to be a part of. Anything else going on here? Red, green, Eldrazi, more Jund, Hate Bears without Eldrazi, I'm guessing. Zoo. What flavor of Zoo is this?
It's just a modernized version of just Zoo. It's what you would expect. It has Goyf as the...
Ooh, it's got a Thunderstruck Regent. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. You know, like pretty much like all the things that you would probably expect from a Zoo deck, like Kitchen Finks, Noble High Arcs, Knight of Reliquary.
Wild Mikado. But it's Wild running Mikado. An Arlan Cord and an Elspeth Knight Errant.
I thought that was the land.
I'm guessing for the pump ability. +3/+3 in flying is pretty sick in a good old Zoo deck.
It's really good in a vacuum, and it's amazing in a deck built for it.
Yeah.
And I did confirm it is GPLA.
Okay, good. Thank you. I've been so focused on Charlotte because we'll be there that I completely forgot about the other one.
You're correct, though.
So, yeah, this is just straight up Zoo. This isn't like a fancy like tribal zoo or those other. It's just Zoo.
It's Zoo with two Planeswalkers and what was it? Maybe like one additional card than what you would probably expect. But everything, like anything else that you would probably expect from a Zoo deck is all right in here.
Wow.
And that's why I was like, I looked at it as like, you know, Zoo in Modern. And then I kind of like went straight down to it because I just saw the name and I was like, it can't possibly be Zoo. But then I looked over the list and I was like, oh, no, this is basically Zoo.
Yeah.
I have the legacy version of this deck. This is Zoo. You know, minus never mind.
I know what you're trying to say, too. Yeah, that card, yeah. So that's...
You know, the one with the art on it.
it hit me as soon as we get off the phone, and I'll end up texting it to Chewing.
So that's Modern. Modern's looking pretty good at the moment, hopefully.
Like, if this was the overall view of just, like, what Modern looks like at the moment, I would say it's pretty healthy because there's no definitive, like, deck that's shown up more than enough times to be like, ugh.
Exactly. But
yeah, if Modern was like that week to week, I'd care about it.
Right. Like if Modern stayed like this with like with these 32 decks just kind of like rotating in like places on this, like I'd be fine with that because you know it's a healthy format. You've got your tribal decks, you've got your Jund decks, you've got Ad Nauseam, you've got new decks like Red White Control, you've got like more defined like tournament based decks like the Jeskai Control and stuff, and Infect and things that you would expect from a Modern. So yeah, if it stayed basically like this, I would be perfectly fine with it.
It looks like there's plenty of room for innovation, and that's what I like to see in Modern. It's not just this deck and the two decks that have a hope in hell against it. It's whatever you can make work, you can make work. You know, just go run it, and if you play well and get a little lucky in your matchups, then look at that.
Yeah, like even like in the top eight decks that actually made it through, only two of them have like kind of a similar strategy with the Infect.
And that's just, and even those two are different because it's the green blue and the green black effect.
Yeah.
Everything else up there is different. It's like, you know, you get Delver, Jund, Control, Tron.
Yeah, you've Grixis. you got 7.5 different decks in the top 8, and that's really sweet. Actually, you don't hit another duplicate until 12th.
Yep.
That's crazy. But that's not all that was going on in Indianapolis. There was also Standard.
Yay, Standard.
How many people were in Standard? 161, where Andrew Tenjum won with green-white tokens. Hey, imagine that. And then there's a green-red.
I hear that's a good deck.
Yeah, that's what I hear. There's a green-red ramp deck. Yep, we've talked about this. The one running Chandra Flamecaller and Worldbreaker, Dragonlord Atarka, and Ulamog, and then a bunch of ramp. Yep. Anytime you can see Explosive Vegetation in a serious deck being played seriously, oh, makes me happy. That was like my favorite casual ramp card when I started playing Magic again, because it was printed in Onslaught, and I'm like, this card is great! And you know what? It is.
Yeah.
Seasons Passed in third, of course. Bant Company, another green-white tokens, a four-color rights deck, which we really need to come up with a name for that.
We might have it come November.
The Brood Monitor Collected Company Cutthroat deck. Yeah, that one. a blue-red what is blue-red control? What is this? Have you guys looked at this? What the hell is this?
Loses all over it.
Okay, so this deck is running Drowner of Hope and Ulamog. And then Chandra Flamecaller and Jace Unraveler of Secrets. Yeah, the one that they printed that's new.
Yay, new Jace.
And then Hedron Archive, Anticipate, Clash of Wills, Kozilek's Return, Spatial Contortion, and Void Shatter.
It's an interesting deck.
What? So it's just stalling until it drops one of these two big things over here. Is what it looks like. Like, nope, counter that. Nope, return that. You know, well, Kozilek's Return. You know, nope, not wipe the board. Nope, Spatial Contortion that. Nope, 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 nope. And then it gets Chandra or Drowner or Ulamog or something running and runs away with it. It's an actual, like, straight-up, not terribly complicated control deck. Huh.
So it's blue-red, nope.
Exactly, yeah.
It's also kind of interesting how a lot of the time lately, when I've seen control decks, they really only have, you know, two or three card, like maybe four cards total in the whole deck that are actually win conditions, and everything else is just making your opponent run out of stuff with heavy allowance density. Whereas this one, you can win off of Chandra, you can win off of Ulamog, you can win off of Drowner, and I mean, you're not going to win off of Jace, but you'll lock inevitability pretty hard if you actually stick it out for a few turns.
Yeah.
So really and truly, the thing that I'm looking for here is where, like, how well does it function with just Kozilek's Return as your ability to board wipe? Because you're on the heavy counter game here. It doesn't have the luxury of all of the murder from a black deck or a white deck's exiling. Like, it's got to not miss a beat or it just gets run over.
That's very true.
I mean, look at the cost of your actual permanents. Like, your first Planeswalker costs 5 and your first creature costs 6.
Well, what I think would probably end up occurring here is that if it got to a point where if you're playing this deck and you weren't able to get the board wipes on correctly from the first game, it has 2 extra copies of the Return in the sideboard, and it also has Thought Knot Seer. So you do have, like, a lower cost creature that you could kind of throw in there just to kind of have as, like, lower defenses to be able to try to have something else to put up.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, like, with Thought Knot Seer's ability, you can also still be able to kind of control what your opponent's hand looks like and try to, like, you know, continue with the denial while also putting a body down on the field.
I want to see the games where you bring in 4 Fever Visions.
I know, I'm just looking at that and I'm like, I want to know what this, how that works.
Like, that's the game I want to watch.
Oh man. So what was that? That was 7th place. It's a black white control deck in 8th, which is the one with all the planeswalk. Yep. Is one we've talked about before. With Gideon, Kool-Aid Man, and Sorin.
Oh yeah.
I like how you said that after Sorin.
Hey man, Sorin's kinda hot.
Kinda nothing. He's got fangirls.
And boys. I mean nothing.
But what?
Yeah, totally.
So that's the top 8. There's white red humans, Grixis control, more humans, the Abzan cutthroat deck. I'm not gonna call it Aristocrats. More Band Company, more tokens.
I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah, they call it Aristocrats because that's what we called that old deck way back in the day. And, and Magic players hate change, even though stuff rotates constantly. They can't let names go.
That's exactly what, because I personally don't typically dab my toe towards the tournament scene that often. And seeing Aristocrats in Standard, I felt like to say, like, wait a second, was there a reprint somewhere that I missed?
No, it's the Zulaport
Cutthroat. I'm pretty sure this is not, like, I'm going to open this link and it's not what I'm going to be expecting.
Yeah, this is a great way of making new players confused and letting you have an opportunity to say you've been playing for more than 2 years. Like, there's no other reason to call it that.
Yeah.
It's not intuitive at all.
So that's Standard. Let's go over to Legacy, where 147 people were playing, and Clay Spickelmeyer won, playing, hey look, Infect. It's just everyone's getting infected.
Clues was here.
The infection is spreading, ladies and gentlemen.
Second place is a Reanimator deck, and not one of, I don't think this is one of those weird ones. This looks like an actual Reanimator deck, where it's running things like Exhume and Reanimate, and Entomb, and then it's got Iona, Elesh Norn, Tidespout Tyrant, Inkwell Leviathan, remember that card? And, of course, four copies of Grizzlebrand, because you have to have him. You
do. Yeah. Straight up Animate Dead.
So, yeah, no, and there's even an Animate Dead.
Yeah.
Wow. A card that makes perfect sense when you think about
it logically.
Don't
read what they put in Oracle.
Yeah, but if you read what the actual card text is, it'll blow your mind.
It does what you think it does. Don't read anymore.
Third place. Oh, my God. Look at third and fourth place. If only Clues was here.
Oh, yeah, see what happens when he's not here?
It's like terrible. John Lynch comes in at third with a Goblins deck, two copies of Jim Palm in, I'm going to mess this up because I don't do words.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's the Legacy Goblins deck. Usually what we do is just try to find what's different.
What's going on in here? What's this? What's
and
going on?
This one's got a Krenko.
Yeah, it has Krenko. Let's keep her out. It's Tarfire.
It's got Tarfire? I don't see any of the other. Oh, it's got Thalia and the board. There she is.
Yep.
Oh, and
Thalia's on the board with the Blood Moon and the Containment Priest.
Nice. So this is a deck that's mono red that can switch over into
Boros, if needed.
Yeah, and it's also got a tiny splash of green for the 10 Street Hooligans ability. The dual lands basically just cover that. Yeah, this is cool. Goblins making the cut. And then in fourth place, Riley Curran. Curran. Riley C is running Elves. The one with Crater Hoof Behemoth and Shaman of the Pack. That flavor.
Elf Ball.
Which might actually be the only flavor that there is at the moment. I can't remember.
It's been a long time since I've actually seen a copy of Green Sun Zenith.
I mean, yeah, it's, it's banned in Modern, right?
I'm pretty sure.
So,
And it's not banned in, like, Commander either, but it's just one of those, like, I completely forgot this was a card.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
So, yeah, that's cool. Got the elves. Fifth place is Ten Fins, which I never know what that is. Oh, that's the Children
fishy.
It's the deck that runs the creature bases Grizzlebrand, Emrakul, and a Children of Corliss. And the Children of Corliss is there for shenanigans. But I can't remember what kind of shenanigans.
Hold on. All right. Stop backing up. There we go. You can sacrifice it to gain life equal to a life that you've lost this turn.
Yeah. So
with Grizzlebrand, like, yeah, you could pay the life for Grizzlebrand to draw the cards and then sacrifice this to draw that many more cards. So you can kind of double Grizzlebrand.
Oh, it's a freaking Storm deck at its heart. I forgot, it's got Tendrils of Agony in here. So yeah, you're drawing lots of cards and doing lots of things and crazy stuff, and then you gain life back and draw lots of more cards and do more things, and then you Tendrils for the win. There we go.
Yeah, digging for the Tendrils.
What a bizarre deck. With a dumb name. Yes, it's dumb, shut up.
Yeah, every time I hear the words Ten Fin, I just think of like Merfolk Artifact or something.
Yeah, right? Apparently it's supposed to be
It's the C-Lab 2021 reference.
C-Lab. I'm like, C-Quest? No, that was the one with Roy Scheider.
That's different.
Yeah. There's an ad whoa, it's actually called Ad Nauseam. It's not called Storm. Holy crap.
What?
Wait, where is it saying Ad Nauseam for you?
Wait, am I back in Modern accidentally?
I don't know.
It's in sixth place.
Yeah, it's called Storm in my
it's
list.
It's called Storm in my list.
What? Let me hit refresh.
It says Storm on my list.
Click. It says Storm now. I hit refresh and it changed to Storm.
It was too informative before.
Like, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, and
can't be fooled again. What the?
I finished that in my head. We're all on the same page.
somebody's in there editing since we started the show.
Oh, they got to make it less identifiable.
You think they've got us bugged? But yeah, it's an Ad Nauseam Tendrils Storm deck. Or
I'm half expecting to refresh it and see that it's actually just going to be called like Blue Obzon. Red. Like the deck name will be Blue Obzon with Red, No Trees.
Seventh place is Miracles, which would make Clues rant about hashtag Stop the Top. So
that does sound like something he would do.
And then eighth place is a Sultai Delver deck. Ninth place is Eldrazi. Is this what I think it is? Yep.
It's exactly what you think it is.
It's the legacy version of the Eldrazi Menace, which did not get nerfed or banned. But luckily, yep. Legacy can handle it.
Hopefully. And otherwise, it's not trying hard enough.
More Grixis Delvers, more Elves. A Burn deck snuck its way into the top 16 with... that's a Legacy Burn deck. Okay.
Yeah.
Shardless Sultai, another Storm. What flavor is this? This is the same thing. Yep, no wishes. Okay. Another Ant deck. And then, in 16th place, because people forgot to board properly, a Manaless Dredge deck.
It's such a beautiful thing.
I hate you.
Love Dredge.
I would never play it. I'm just always entertained when I see no lands. It's not a mistake.
Yeah. This is what happens when people forget to board properly, is Manaless Dredge makes the top 16, and everyone goes, oh, damn it. And then they fix it, and it disappears for another few months.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the beautiful thing about Legacy. There's always at least one deck that you can build and just kind of sit back and wait.
That's why you only get 15 sideboard cards.
Yeah. This might be one of my favorite Legacy decks because it runs four copies of my favorite Magic card ever, the Nether Shadow. Not this stupid art that shows here in the pop-up, but the original Nether Shadow art is one of my favorite cards ever. So that makes me happy. But this deck is terrible. It's not, as Clues likes to point out, you're not playing Magic. You're playing some weird variation of Magic. That's
an abomination, if you will.
Yeah, there we go. So that was.
There is a term for that I would use, but I'm not sure if it's allowed here on Magic, on Monday Night Magic.
Uh oh.
What? Solitaire.
Just type it in the chat.
Like, you have no idea how hard I'm trying to do my best to restrict my verbal.
And I appreciate it. So that's Indianapolis. It's
tournament's
nice,
over.
It's a nice little preview of GP Charlotte because next week there is no Star City event, but there are two modern GPs.
In America.
And that's it. That's very strange.
It's very odd.
America. So let's see. I've got too much crap open. Back to the show notes. This is not the show notes.
This is a ham.
So Alain Bergeau went on the Channel Fireball show, I guess, called Magic TV. You can tell how much I pay attention to the stuff they do, because I didn't know this was a thing. But she went on there with LSV and other guy in the...
Ooh, that's descriptive.
I don't know his name, and I'm not going to open the video while we're recording, because it might cause me to go fuzzy. But in their completely and totally... well-lit studio would look like...
Oh, no, you'll love this, Chewy. So it's Moshi Scanlon. But more importantly, the Twitter name is @thatguyontheleft. So...
Nice.
You were pretty close when you said other guy.
But she went on there to discuss the big platinum pay cut debacle. And I'm not going to lie, I did not watch this because the lighting was so bad that I couldn't bear myself to spend 20 minutes watching it. But... what I did do was read Paulo's response, because Paulo Vitor Dama de Rosa went on Reddit and left a nice large response to this. And from what he says, it sounds like Wizards doesn't quite understand why they were upset about the platinum pay cut. It's, apparently she kept using the word status instead of money. It wasn't the loss of status. It was the loss of money and therefore job security that bothered people. But, we're not going to go, you know, real deep in depth in this, but he brings up esports and Hearthstone and things like that as ways that it offsets, how do I put it? Ways that you can have pro players in other things that may or may not necessarily work for Magic, but it seems like Wizards doesn't quite get the difference. So. Yeah.
But it's one of those moments where from a pro player perspective, basically it's a loss of money. It's a loss of security in what you'll be able to do. If you were in a platinum status, there is an allotted amount of money that you know that you'll be getting next year because you're in this particular status. And because of it, you'll have a chance to be able to plan correctly for everything. With the loss of the finances for it, now it becomes the, okay, now I have to figure out how to incorporate real life into my pro tour as well. And it could complicate things for a pro player, which is fully understandable because if that's the way that you're currently going out and getting notoriety and making your money and doing your thing to do your living, then go right ahead. But if this does kind of throw a niche into there, it could, you know, complicate things. And then on the other end of the spectrum, the amount of money that's being moved around as per her announcement is not equal to the sum that was overall expected from the loss of this particular tier.
Yeah. Now, most of the things that Calvin said, we talked about during the big actual pay cut thing announcement and then later when they fixed it. But Paulo is specifically in his response here pointing out why. So one of the reasons that they have given for moving the money from the players to Worlds is they're like, they want to have the big prize payout that grabs headlines. Look at this. Oh my God. It's $100,000 for first place. Oh my God. Blah. And Paulo points out, yeah, that you can do that with these other games because the players get paid from other ways. And those other ways don't currently exist in Magic. And then, yeah, the question of money is a big thing because the money that they took from the Hall of Famers and the Platinum Pro Cut, you know, back when they first announced it, did not equal the money that went into Worlds. There's a chunk missing. And he's like, if it's just reallocation, where'd that go? You know, just saying.
It went into the production product needed for the extra hands to be at Wizards to make the four color commanders.
Oh. You know, if they pitch it like that, they might actually get some people on their side.
Yeah, we've solved it.
They're like, look, like in order to solve this problem, we had to do a lot of overtime here. And in order to get that payout, this is kind of what we had to do. Suck it up. And I'm pretty sure a large portion of the community would be like, yeah, money well spent. Money well spent.
Cool. Yeah. So if you want to hear what Elaine said and then PB's response, both of those are in the show notes. Go check those out, unless you're absolutely sick of hearing about it, which is also understandable. I enjoyed reading PB's response, though, because PB's really good at making points when he's not, you know, complaining too much. So that's that. Bill, are you back?
Hey,
this is a thing.
Am.
This is a thing that's all on you, buddy.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so just as some background, so a month or so ago, there was a Twitter discussion running on, you know, why aren't there Magic conventions? Why aren't there things that you can go to that aren't big tournaments? And so to briefly mention, like, my other podcast thing that I always tell you guys I'm going to release new episodes for, well, over the weekend, I released a new episode. It's crazy. And it was specifically myself and Christine Sprankle, who had started that Twitter thing, or at least heavily participated in that Twitter thing, talking.
She's the one that kicked off the full discussion that followed.
Yeah. And so the thing is, both Christine and I go to a lot of anime conventions outside of Magic and other kinds of conventions. And so we know what we're looking for in a con, and that's definitely not what you get at a GP. And so we sat down and we talked about it for about an hour, and I edited it down, released, great. And so after doing that, come this morning, as it turns out, there is a news release. Well, not even really a release so much as just it's been noted that Hasbro, the company that owns Wizards of the Coast and by extension Magic, they have trademarked HasbroCon. They'd previously also trademarked HasCon, which is a terrible name. So
that is really awful.
Way to upgrade. They put the bro back in it, which probably isn't what we want, but based on their toy strategy, I guess it makes sense.
Every con is better if you have a few more bros.
Are they?
I don't know if that's true, but nonetheless.
We might be using the word bros to mean different things here, Calvin.
I mean, I'm sure YaoiCon appreciates it, but regardless. It's a thing. Don't Google that.
I'm not gonna. I know what that is.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Hasbro has HasbroCon. They've both trademarked that. They've also reserved the URL, hasbro-con.com, making me wonder if someone else beat them to the punch on getting hasbrocon.com. I'm not going to find out. And that said, yeah, if this actually follows through, then Hasbro could do a convention for all of their properties, not just Magic, which would be Transformers, G.I. Joe, My Little Pony, Dungeons and Dragons, Magic, all these things. And one of the things that I'd actually held against the likelihood of there ever being a proper Magic the Gathering convention is the fact that just Magic the Gathering, while it has all the potential in the world as a franchise to support all of these things, building a convention around just Magic the Gathering is going to pretty much have to involve Wizards of the Coast. And Wizards stands to make a lot more money selling product through tournaments and using tournaments to advertise the product than they are through any community building efforts as a standalone. But when you expand up to the bigger level of Hasbro, well, now that you've got the Transformers and the G.I. Joe and the massive crowd of My Little Pony people and all that stuff, well, now you can have a segment of a convention that's about Magic and it actually gives us what we want without compromising the normal issues that you'd run into trying to run a non-tournament based Magic event. So even though they've not made a big fancy release date or a location or any kind of thing on those lines, if they're actually booking a convention, then I'm looking forward to hearing more about it because, like I said on the podcast that I was talking to Christine, I'm more likely to travel to another state for a convention than I am for a tournament. If I show up at a tournament and do badly, then I feel like I've wasted a trip. If I show up at a convention, I know what I'm getting from the start and I'm going to get it. And that's a lot more compelling for me. And given, you know, I'm about to go to a GP with no intent of playing in it, this is actually really what I want in an event anyway. So I'm looking forward to seeing where that ultimately goes.
And the one thing I actually kind of like think is one of the better points of the potential for this is, it gives them an outlet to be able to display newer versions of other products, not just saying Magic or anything particular, but like when Magic decided it wanted to do its tabletop version of itself, this would have been a great place to not only make the announcement for it and have it available, but also have it something that, you know, players could get a chance to have interest in. Or if they decide they want to try to do a board game section where they print out a new form of a different type of board game, this is a nice area where they can have that without having to worry about like trying to produce it and then you ship it all out and just kind of wait for the results or try to go to some other gaming company, because Hasbro has a very large umbrella of like other games underneath it and properties as well. So yeah, this just seems like an overall like good thing for the majority of all of the other products they have that isn't Magic based or like in their flagship of like their top five sellers.
Yeah, and as you were saying, like, this would have been a great place to have done the Zendikar variant for Dungeons & Dragons, or to roll out some Arena of the Planeswalkers type stuff, or just all of that Magic merch that they occasionally dig out and are like, yeah, we really should have brought more than three of these to Comic-Con. This is a place where you can do that, because when you've got your Transformers and your G.I. Joe and all of the stuff like that around, that's toys. And it's a lot easier to push Magic the Gathering like non-card product in that environment. So yeah. I think there's some potential.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it really has like really great potential for like any non-card Magic based product that they happen to have. I mean, granted, putting those at your tournaments and potentially having them somewhere else is nice. But if you say, for instance, had it at like a GP, if the table amount of players that came in actually outnumbered what you were planning on, those judges are moving stuff around. They're putting more tables down so they can get more people into the seats and play. So you're going to have less space for your tabletop Magic.
that's not card based. Whereas with this, it's the, yeah, here's the section for it. It's already set up. It's pre-set up. You don't have to worry about how many people show up. You don't have to worry about how many people come in, and it doesn't really like affect what you already have preset, because you're not like taking in like a unknown number of people that could potentially expand over and eat over this section.
I just had a brainstorm.
Did you put anything back yet?
No.
All right. And, so and, we'll wait.
Well, I'm going to get called for drawing extra cards now, but, or whatever it's called. I don't know. Clues isn't here to make the judge joke. But, so if they do a Hasbro Con and there is a magic presence there, what we need to do is flood the place with magic people, outnumber, all of the robot-y people and the G.I. Joe-y people and the brony people, outnumber all of those. We need to just flood the place with magic. Not to play, but to do the convention side of things, so that they go, you know what? I bet there's a market in this, and they start a magic convention.
Then we have the magic convention, which then inevitably like, all right, well, since we have all these magic players here for this magic convention, we might as well put some tables down for someone to play magic.
Well,
and
I mean,
the next thing you know, then we get our states back.
Yeah, that's gonna happen. What, you mean you don't have like four states tournaments? Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Star City Games has states, and a TCG player has a states, and I think there's a couple others.
Okay, like correction, we get our official states back.
Oh, okay.
Official. Now it looks fancy. I bet you can't see like, through your sleeves.
Like, that's right. Get a chance to twirl your little Monopoly Man mustache there a little bit. Like, this one's actually sponsored.
Anyway.
So yeah, we'll see where that goes.
Well, real quick, since you brought up Dungeons and Dragons, there's actually something that I wanted to mention that I had I just found out about recently, is that there's a, for those that are interested in Dungeons and Dragons, by the way, there's actually a weekly Dungeons and Dragons stream on the WotC D&D Twitch channel featuring, YouTube personalities. Like, if this article is still accurate, Chris Perkins is the Dungeon Master, and then, there are just a handful of other players, Anna Prosser Robinson, Commander Holly, Pro Jared, and Nathan Sharp are the players. And that's still going on. I can't figure out what date. The last broadcast was on May 10th, so if it's weekly, then it's Tuesdays.
So what you're saying is now on Tuesdays, I have something else to go to.
I mean, if you're into D&D, then it might be worth checking out.
Like, you're talking to the guy who basically sat back and watched all the episodes of the Temple of the Lava Bears from, whatchamacallit, Loading, Ready, Run, like twice, at least, because I loved that one. And then I went on to YouTube just to search out other ones, and I've watched those. So yeah, I've now have something new to look forward to.
So yeah, there you go. And I don't actually know who any of these players are, except for Pro Jared. He's a video gaming style YouTuber.
I don't care who any of the players are. I want to watch these now.
Once
we get off the phone, I'm going straight to Twitch to go look for these to see if I can find any old versions of it.
Oh, well,
hopefully take the older versions and toss them onto like. Hopefully they take the older versions and throw them up on YouTube or something, just to kind of like archive them a little easier.
Well, here, tell you what, I will go ahead. This is in the show notes now for anyone that wants it. And Calvin, here it is in the chat just for you.
Oh, it's WotC. I am going straight to that once this is over.
It's WotC _DND, not D and D, DND.
The letter.
The
do
letter.
Do not disturb.
Yes. WotC _ do not disturb.
Do not disturb.
Whoa, that dragon's an ampersand.
Yeah, it is.
For a moment, I thought that dragon was eating its own tail.
No, it's cooking it.
So it can eat it later. Duh.
It's not a savage.
I wonder if dragons taste like nougat.
I mean, they did.
I hate you so much. And that's just a tip. So
that's the tail tip.
Let us move on to Magic Online then, shall we, Bill?
I guess we probably should. So, all right. Opening disclaimer, as always, most of the Magic Online news pops up on Tuesdays. We record on Mondays, which means my news is old. So if you really want to keep up with Magic Online, you should probably go to the Wizards website and then go to products, then go to Magic Online, and then you'll see whatever's there because that's the most current you're going to hope for. That said, from this timestamp of a week ago, the main Magic Online announcements. They've, yep, as usual, updated the MTGO calendar so you can keep track of events. This past weekend was the Magic Online Championship, which, you know, is neat, but there's not really much point in talking to it. But it was won by Niels Norlander.
That's how I would say it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I let Chewy get all the names earlier, so I'll fall on getting that one wrong. But yeah, good job. You have fought your way through multiple formats and conquered.
And
so,
managed, hopefully, to not get disconnected in the middle of an important tournament.
That has never happened several times. yeah, I'm not going to pretend that I watched it. I don't actually enjoy watching Magic Online tournaments. For some crazy reason, they're not very compelling for me. I like watching people play Magic Online casually, or I like watching just straight up drafts, because following a draft in Magic Online is a lot easier than following one with like cameras live, since the person doing it can actually explain their picks and all of that. But you're not really going to get a whole lot of that here. But hey, that's cool. We have a winner. If you would like to read more about that adventure in the Magic Online Championship, I've included a note here, or a link in the notes. So, but that happened last weekend. So moving forward, they have changed the timing of the Vintage Daily events, which goes into effect this Wednesday. So, it's not a major change, but I'm not going to read this to you. It's a timetable. You can take a look at the link here. It's under the Magic Online announcements. So that's cool. Those are updated. Essentially, it looks like there's just more of them. Same deal with the Magic Online Phantom Sealed. They're just shifting around to figure out what works best. So that's cool. Moving down, so the Shadows Over Innistrad Standard Championship qualifiers began last week. So if you were in on that, I hope you jumped in. Again, reminder, look at this on Tuesdays. as they continue forward with the flashback, the modern flashbacks, well, last week they brought in Time Spiral, Planar Chaos. And in this coming week, they're going to go full Time Spiral block, which means they're going to be adding in Future Sight, which means you can totally get a Steamflogger boss. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assemble those contraptions. You can't actually assemble contraptions yet. But live the dream. Yeah, I guess you could get a Tarmogoyf. If it's a foil, you have to pick it. It's like the law.
Like, I think MTGO automatically just puts it into your pool and then just shifts the pack.
I mean, it would make sense, but MTGO would probably add it to your pool, but it'll also probably try to guilt you and then maybe get a ticket out of you or something for it later.
I did this for you.
It's like, I did it for you. Yeah, and because Clues isn't here, let's talk about Legacy. They're doing an event that they're referring to as the Magic Online Legacy Festival. They occasionally do festival events. Legacy is an interesting one to do that with because Magic Online is one of the only places where you could try to actually afford playing Legacy, I would wager. Cause just cheaper pretty much across the board as I understand it. So, Legacy Festival is going to be starting on June 8th with the Legacy Gauntlet. So you'll get to play with the first ever Legacy Gauntlet. For 6 event tickets or 60 play points, you're essentially going to be given a random deck from a list of essentially the big and classic famous Legacy decks. It'll be Phantom, so you don't get to keep the cards, but you do get to play with them. And so that's pretty neat. It'll be Swiss, so if you have a bad one first game, you can keep trying. And essentially, it's a good way to get a feel for decks that you don't actually have. So that's cool. That's going to be running 8th to the 16th. When you get to the 16th, well, that's when Eternal Masters is going to happen, Magic Online. So when that goes through, it'll be kind of like a normal release where you'll be like, hey, look, we've got all these drafts and stuff. They've got competitive sealed league. They've also got, your choice of, drafting 8-4, 6-2-2-2, or Phantom Swiss. So plenty of options there. And of course, the Legacy League will be running from July 6th to July 20th, followed by the Festival Championship on July 24th. So short version of all of this is they've got an entire, 2 months of Legacy antics, starting with the initial events and then running through a full league. So if you want to play Legacy and you don't have the Legacy cards or you're not in an area where Legacy fires, this might be your best chance to actually do so. This would be what Clues would play if Clues had a PC, but he doesn't. also is underwater, where I imagine the internet connection is worse.
And you can't get that extra 3 feet out.
It's true, yeah. Like, if it went 3 feet down, he'd probably get a PC and be able to play games. But, you know, here we are. Clues is a quitter. I'm looking forward to when he downloads this in a week and is mad at me. It's going to be awesome.
That's going to be pretty sweet.
I'm pretty sure, like, if Clues actually realized that he could get to that that triple digit, he would get the access to it, he would totally go for that extra 3.
No, he'd go to 99 and he'd stop because he doesn't want to touch Windows.
Yeah.
The man runs a Penguin, okay? It's weird.
Or a Mac.
Which is practically a Penguin with a better PR department.
Oh. Send all hate mail to Squee Goblin Nabob up on Twitter. There's no I in Goblin
because I have no shame. It'll be wonderful. Look, I'm running out of states to make fun of because now I'm living in a glass house, okay?
Ain't that
so
true?
I've got to find other ways to offend people. And that's the world of Magic Online, so enjoy.
Hooray, Magic Online. Oh, man. So, one last thing before we sign off. GP Charlotte, as we keep saying, is this weekend coming up.
Yay.
If you are going to be there, let us know, because Bill and I are totally going to be there.
Yeah, and we're not going to be playing, so you should be able to find us.
Yeah, I'll be working. I'll be the guy walking around in the Manipool polo shirt with the recorder in my hand. The guy that looks like me. I make videos now. You should know what I look like.
Yeah, there's no real hiding in anymore.
Yeah, and if you don't, then check out my YouTube channel, damn it. I have lots of videos now.
I will also wear a Manipool shirt. So if you can't find him, look for the other guy with the Manipool shirt and ask where's Chewy. It'll be great.
Although hopefully there will be a lot of Manipool shirts there, so that'll be cool.
They all know where Chewy is.
it's quite possible.
I'm pretty sure this is also the GP where the host from CommanderCast, William, will be available. So if you happen to go out there and you happen to see him, go ahead and tell him, hey, from the captain. Or, you know, just give him a quick pat on the back. And if you're an avid listener, give him a quick punch in the face for me.
I feel like if Clues was here, he would disclaim that. But since he's not, I guess we're lawless.
Yeah, there's no judging around here right now. We are basically getting a chance to just, you know, break all the rules.
Instruct people in assault.
But I'm just saying, I don't send any assault charges to me. I have no, I would deny every aspect of me even making that particular claim. And I would then just say it was all in jest and they kind of took it literal.
You will claim that the podcast was Photoshopped?
Yeah, I was edited into here. Those comments were just kind of like chopped together from some other comments I've made previously.
I don't understand how they managed to edit that audio.
What? Edit? Clearly I don't do that, so clearly he never said it.
I have never been on Monday Night Magic.
But no, seriously, come out and find us. It'll be awesome. Also, our silent partner will be there. You know, the guy who throws stuff in the show notes all the time to make sure that we have stuff to talk about. So that'll be awesome. I finally get to meet Will.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to walk up to him, and then we're going to actively not read this week's magic story in front of him. It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be pretty sweet. So, yeah. And if you are a podcaster or content creator of some variety and you're going to be there, then let us know. We're still trying to get up the podcaster dinner again this year.
It is a fun adventure.
So, Calvin, tell Will. Damn it.
I'll make sure I'll let William know.
Excellent.
He will completely ignore me because it's not like CommanderCast.
Because you keep punching him in the face?
I have no idea what you're talking about. That is an audio edit. I have never, never in my life recommended anyone do any violence towards my host. But
face.
Especially like within the facial region, because I'm an advocate person who tells people, like, if you're going to hit somebody, just not in the face, not in the face.
The Simpsons family motto.
Anyway, so that'll be fun. I like it. Is that everything? I think that's everything.
I think that's it for
that's basically it.
Ridiculous quantity of news. Yeah.
Excellent. Well then, Mr. Red Zone, sir. Would you like to do your contact info / pimping the show / all of that good stuff?
So here comes the point in the show where I get a chance to say all that stuff. Hold on a second. Let me get a quick footing here. Okay, listeners. So My name is Calvin. I'm also known as Captain Red Zone around the internet. And if you're looking for me, it's very easy to do. All you have to do is go over to Twitter and hit me up at Captain Red Zone. Or you can hit me up on the email in Gmail at CaptainRedZone@gmail.com. Or if you really are adventurous and you want to find out more about what I do, I talk about Commander over on CommanderCast.com. We do community, strategy, and technology. And then this is the point normally where someone says something about getting something, but I don't do that. And you can go over to the Facebook page. We have a CommanderCast Facebook page. CommanderCast is available on iTunes, and it's also available on Stitcher. So if you happen to have an Apple device, you can check us out on iTunes. If you happen to have an Android device, you can check us out on Stitcher. We're available to you. And we also have a Reddit page and a couple other things out there that you can go ahead and link into. And if you want to find the actual show itself, and just contact us there. It's at CommanderCast, or you can hit that up with an email in Gmail at CommanderCast.com. Well, CommanderCast@gmail.com.
Okay, there we go. Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah, and I basically use that phrase at the end of each and every episode. And if you happen to have iTunes and you give us a 5-star review, we will read your review on air. And we also have a Patreon in case you want to jump in on that, but I'm not going into any of that because I don't want to talk about the tip, just a tip, just a dollar in the CommanderCast Patreon. And if a little extra happens to slip in, we aren't going to complain.
How about you, Bill?
Hi, yeah. You can follow me on Twitter at SqueeGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because its funds were secretly routed away and hidden in a giant fiasco of Magic Tournament compensation. That said, you can also listen to me on Enchant World, where I have a whopping 2 episodes completed, not counting episode 0, and why would you? As I've mentioned a few times now, I'm sort of shifting up the format a little bit where instead of just releasing a compilation set every time I have enough episodes to do it, I'm going to be doing an interview on each topic one-on-one with someone and then relying on that as the conversation starter in hopes that that will then drive conversation on that topic for a follow-up episode, exploring it from a number of perspectives. This way, it's not just me waiting to get enough things on one given topic for an indeterminate amount of time. And actually, I can hopefully actually make enough of a schedule doing this since it's more me directly. So as I said before in the episode, the most recent episode focuses on what myself and Christine Sprankle would look for in a convention. There's some discussion and some insight into what nonsense you run into at an anime convention that you may find entertaining, even if you're not interested in a magic convention. And also, just as a fun and fair warning, the episode was recorded and released without bleeps, so there may be swearing on the part of Magic's premier cosplayer. So if that appeals to you, go listen to it. I considered bleeping it, but given the exact context was being able to say things, it seemed inappropriate to do so. So fair warning on that. It's not a lot, but it's probably enough to upset Eric of many names. But yeah, so that was an episode released. I've already started lining up the next interview. And if you listen and you're interested, go to enchantworld.com and then click on any of the topics you see there. Read a little bit about what we're looking for. Click share your story. And then you can directly record in your browser application up to, I believe, 5 or 6 minutes worth of audio and then hit, you know, click the submit button after that, and you'll be able to immediately send it to me, and I'll have it for editing in. If you would rather record on your own, or if you're using a mobile device that can't support Flash, by all means, just record your own audio file and then email it to planeswalker.squee@gmail.com. If the file is too big for the attachment, just send me a normal email and we'll work it out. I am happy to work around as needed to make sure that your sound gets to me, because I want to have as much of a variety and as many perspectives as possible on many different topics. So keep an eye out for that. And finally, like, you know, as we've mentioned, find me at GP Charlotte. It's going to be great. I'm not playing in the tournament. I'm going to wander around. Chewie's going to be interviewing a whole bunch of people, probably asking questions that we may or may not actually hear recordings of in the future. That said, I will not be walking around asking people questions. I'll just be talking to people and looking like a dork. So I'm sure you'll never find anyone else walking around talking to people and looking like a dork this weekend, so I expect to find you. And barring that, a week later, if you're in the North Carolina area and you're an anime fan, I'm going to be at Animazement, which is my local big convention that's been running for like 2 decades. So if you want a relatively large anime con, you can run into me there and see me dressed in funny outfits. So good times.
Are they funny?
I think they're funny.
Oh, okay.
I will also have cookies.
You'll also what?
I will also have cookies.
I want cookies.
Because apparently Clues is on, because apparently Squee is on a dark side. Because the dark side has cookies.
They have cookies, but they don't always give you cookies.
You don't trust me. You don't want the dark side's cookies. I've had a friend who's had cookies from Vader. Trust me. You don't want the dark side's cookies. I mean, unless you really, really are into like experimental cookies, you don't want the dark side's cookies.
I'm pretty sure at this point Vader was part cookie. Like, he was cooked really bad. And with that, I will hand things over to Chewie, because Clues doesn't get to talk this week.
Ha! If he could talk, it'd be like War Garble, so it wouldn't matter.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wait a minute, I have stuff written down here for just such an occasion. Okay, so, since the last episode of Monday Night Magic, over on my YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/C/TheManaPool, I have started the Oath of the Gatewatch story on Magic Duels, finally. And it was awesome, because I got to be the bad guy. Yes! So that was fun. I was Demon Galactus. I always like being Demon Galactus. And I also started a new series on the YouTube channel of Rogue Legacy, which those of you that know that game just went, ah, and got a little excited, and those of you that don't went, huh? And I recommend you check it out. It's a very fun, adorable, extremely hard game where you are a knight or a hero who goes into a castle and dies, and then you start over with one of your children. Thus the name Rogue Legacy. The castle is procedurally generated, so as you gain abilities, the castle changes. So now that, like, I got the double jump ability in a later video that hasn't been posted yet, and so now there are lots of spikes that I have to double jump across, you know? So it's a lot of fun. You're an adorable little dude with a great big sword. And, you're very happy to have your sword. You're like, look at my big sword! Yay, big sword! And it's a lot of fun. I also picked up, VVV again to try to collect the last few shiny trinkets, because I beat VVV. I saved all of the crew, and we can leave at any time. But I have to collect the trinkets, because otherwise my viewers will not leave me alone. So I did my first of those, where I spent a long time trying to get one trinket and may or may not have had a small aneurysm. It made me angry. I was very angry. So that's fun. So if you enjoy seeing me flustered, go check that out. And send, I almost said send laxative. That's not the right thing. Send Alka-Seltzer.
That is the opposite thing.
Send the stuff that'll make me not die. You know, damn it, whatever that is. So yeah, that's what's going on over on the YouTube channel. I made a huge announcement on the last episode of The Mana Pool. That announcement consists of two parts. One, we are not recording this week.
Dun, dun, dun!
Because of preparations for GP Charlotte and being one host down and Dirk really needing some time off. So that's cool. But the second part of the announcement is The Mana Pool has, for the very first time in its almost, is it almost 8 years? Or is it almost 9 years? Hang on.
I think it's almost 9 years at this point.
I'm pretty sure it's nine.
Wait, we started in 07, so what is that?
Yeah, that's nine.
Nine.
Oh god. So in our almost 9 years of running, we have coming up, for the very first time, our very own exclusive preview card.
What?
Right?
Ooh. Nah,
how does that happen?
But sheer dumb luck, it turns out.
Oh.
But, so yeah, our embargo date is Wednesday the 25th, which means on Tuesday after Grand Prix Charlotte, we will record a thing, and it will go up sometime after midnight that night. So we have an Eternal Masters, right? Yeah, an Eternal Masters, preview card. We're super, super hyped for it, and it'll be the next thing you hear if you are subscribed to The Mana Pool, and I highly recommend that you go to themanapool.com and subscribe directly there, because I have no idea how long until it goes up on MTGcast. Probably a long time.
So, Chewie, what kind of
favors would I have to perform to be able to reach in and potentially jump in on this potential recording of a preview part?
Mm-hmm. Well, given that it's our first one ever, it's not possible. No special guests. We're going to hoard this one all on our own.
That's completely fair.
Understandable.
Yeah, because, I mean, you guys got one already, right?
We've had like three.
Yeah, dicks.
Mike was there. He was there for like, what was it? I think the second one we had.
Really? Oh. Wow, you guys suck. So yeah, there you go. We got a preview card, the 25th on themanapool.com. Go check it out. We're, oh my God. It doesn't even matter what the card is. We're just excited. So what else? Is that it? I guess that's it. Like, wasn't that enough? That was so sweet.
Like all that news, we got a chance to do like some tournaments, got to do some online stuff, got a chance to pimp our proverbial side things and preview cards coming up for the Manipool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if the listeners want any more, and if they really want more, then what they really should be doing is going over to your Patreon, and then they would be getting that more.
That's why is Calvin so much better at this than I am? That's why they got so many preview cards. So yeah, if you want to help support what I do with the two podcasts a week and all of the videos and whatnot, then by all means, check out the Patreon. Every little bit helps, and I really do appreciate it. You can get all Manipool episodes and all my YouTube videos early, or you can get, or I should say, and if you're so inclined, you can get the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manipool. So the stuff you hear, well, it's all the stuff recorded before and after the stuff that you hear every week, and it's uncensored and probably unfit for consumption. I do no editing.
You want that consumption because, you know, you're begging for more. And trust me, if you're begging for more, you'll get it. You are going to get it. But, you know, I can't really guarantee if it's going to be what you actually want.
Yeah, it's like every Monday Night Magic one turns into me and Bill and Clue sending links to each other and giggling, or Bill and I talking about comic book related media. It's very strange.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happens.
And then the Manipool is us figuring out the details of the show at the beginning of every episode, and then afterwards it's me and Mike. Sometimes we get deep, sometimes we get silly. Like on the last one, somehow we ended up talking about 80s cartoons. And I'm not sure how that happened, but it did. So yeah, it's like I said, it's just us being us and not having a topic to stick to. We're just shooting the breeze, and you guys get to listen in. So yay. But if you want to help support magic podcasting in general, but not me specifically, which is fine, you can head over to MTGCast and sign up for a small monthly donation there. Because while MTGCast is completely free for all of the podcasters and for all of you listeners, it's not actually completely free. So every little bit there does help. The plan is to get MTGCast back in the black and stop hemorrhaging money so that eventually they can do something with it that will benefit all of the podcasters. That's the plan anyway, as far as I know. I don't actually work for them. I just, you know, help out. I'm the podcaster, quiet speculation overlord liaison. Did you like the way I mispronounced that? Yeah. Is that?
I always just assumed you were the podcaster custodian.
Yeah, I mean, I do clean up after them. So if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at the Manipool. You can send me an email to Chewy, that's C-H-E-W-I-E, because spelling does in fact matter, at mtgcast.com. And I told you the YouTube channel, and the Patreon is patreon.com/themanipool, by the way. I think I forgot to mention that. So yeah, if you think Clues is a quitter for not going those last 3 feet, tell him on Twitter, at LockLuze, L-A-C-L-U-Y-Z-E.
Hashtag quitter.
Hashtag stop the top, hashtag quitter. And a big thanks to Calvin for helping us out this week. It's good to have an excuse to bring him on.
Yes, but don't get used to it, though, because I don't do tournaments that often.
I don't think that's a requirement, buddy.
Period.
And yeah, it's true. Of the three of us that are on the show, we do tournaments never as well, but we also have to pay attention.
So, but yeah, like, you know, it's been fun. I am honored. This is the first time I've been on Monday Night Magic. Hopefully, you know, when more Commander news shows up, you'll hear from me again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
With that silky smooth voice. What? So, yeah, that's everything. So, this has been scroll to the top. Episode 513 of Shut Up of Monday Night Magic. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.
Wait, wrong show.
Like, you don't need to get that brand new gaming system. Come on, buy like a shit ton of magic. Oh.
Wait a minute.